Talk of Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Connor McKnight, Jared Payton.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Lots of moving parts on the holidays. Sam Panayotovic and Kevin Powell filling in for the guys. 720 WGN. It's The Beat. I heard that Preps Plus was so strong this year.
Yeah?
That we got a tryout today.
What's happening? Yeah, the band is back together. Mike Jacobson in the producer booth. Sammy P, myself. Yes, we did Preps Plus all throughout the high school football season on Friday nights. And they were so impressed. They said, you know what? We're going to get all three of you back together in the studio. And you're gonna host a show. 4-hour show.
And we're not going to talk all sports because there's too many things to get to. Happy New Year, by the way. If you haven't been told that a million times already, Happy New Year. We have to talk about your performance. You did a little stand-up with the Steve Cochran Experience on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so Steve's New Year's Eve show, great time, great crowd, big crowds. One at 3 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. The first one, you know, I judge myself pretty harshly.
Yeah.
I'm tough on myself.
You should be.
So after the first one, I was happy the first one was over. I couldn't have got off that stage quicker than I did. But Steve and everybody says it wasn't as bad as I thought. They said it was okay.
So the second one was better.
Second one?
Killed it.
Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park. So I announced some major news on my set that in 2016, new year, new me, I'm not going to eat fast food for the first 30 days of the year.
That's a pretty nice parameter there.
And then after further review, I realized that the new year started on the weekend, and it's just too hard to commit to something like that on a weekend. So we'll kick it off on Monday on the 4th. That was the official announcement. So it'll be tough, but I got to stay strong and try to do it.
I'm glad it worked out. The first time I ever had to stand up and speak in front of a crowd, I was 14, and I got the shakes. In my legs, like restless leg syndrome, only I was awake and standing in front of a bunch of people.
Because I did stand up for the first time back in September. John DeCause and Steve Cochran, I opened my big mouth and told them a while ago, I said, you know what, I always wanted to do stand up. And they call me a few weeks later and they go, Kev, you're on the books, Zanies, Rosemont, start getting a set together.
No pressure.
Pure panic. I've never been more nervous in my entire life before that set. Terrified. Stand-up is the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my life.
Because you're on an island, and if you bomb, it's over.
Crickets, man, it's painful.
It's that first or second joke.
It's just daggers.
You better land one of those first two punches,
yeah,
or you are all by yourself.
Absolutely. Start strong, end strong. but it was good. It was fun. I did a fast food review. And by the way, we do have some pretty big news on the fast food front. We don't have to do it now, but McDonald's.
Yeah, we should save it.
Saving it, but I'll do a little teaser. McDonald's, major changes to their menu coming in 2016.
This is what you tune into The Beat for. 312-981-7200. Somehow, some way, the Bulls look better when Derrick Rose isn't on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears will end their season tomorrow against the Lions as both teams try and avoid loss number 10. I'm going to give you the player that will put the Bears in the playoffs next year. There's one guy on the open market. If they sign him, and they should, and they have the money, they're going to the playoffs. I'll tell you who that is. How many bowl games have you actually watched in the last couple of days?
A lot, but they all start to blur together at some point, honestly.
See, that and yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you got four. There were five games on New Year's Day.
Yes.
Four of them are in like this little tight window.
Exactly. At kickoff, I go, why is Florida, Michigan, three primetime games? You got the Cats, Tennessee, Florida, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
All on at like noon.
All starting within an hour of each other. Wouldn't you spread those out a little bit?
And then the Rose Bowl was at 4, and then you had the nightcap, the Sugar Bowl at 7. Both of those games were blowouts.
Yeah, I haven't seen a good bowl game yet, really. Have you?
I haven't watched one. Wire to wire. This is the first year of the bowl season. I haven't watched from kickoff to the end of a game. I mean, you can flip back and forth, but there's nothing there.
There's so many, and the games are sloppy. And I think, Williams asked you when we were doing crosstalk if the layoff in between when the, you know, the conference championships end and when these bowls kick off, I think there's a big drop in the level of play. These games are bad.
Yeah, it's certainly not the talent that you know, the NFL has. You're used to seeing all the speed and the talent and people actually being able to catch the football. In college, sometimes, you know, guys wide open.
College drop. Special teams, too. Georgia over Penn State today, 24-17. Christian Hackenberg left the game with an injury. Probably his last game with Penn State, right?
Yeah, he's done. He's going to the draft. Yeah. Big Ten is actually 5-5. But of the games that were important, Alabama 38, Michigan State nothing. Oof. Stanford 45, Iowa 16.
What happened
to your Hawkeyes?
Well, I was at a local watering hole watching the game.
You were drunk?
No.
I would have been drunk watching that.
No, diet caffeine-free Pepsi. I didn't want to be up all day, all night. So,
Mike, the first play of the game.
Stanford, it was literally the first play of the game. Mm-hmm.
75-yard touchdown.
McCaffrey goes 75 yards, and I said, this game is over. And then it got to a point, and then when it's 28-0 in mm-hmm. the second quarter, and then I kind of stopped paying attention.
But what happened, I'd say? Like, they were just flat, nothing?
Yeah, and then, you know, I was actually talking with some people that were standing next to us, and they brought up the whole, oh, see, the Big Ten can't compete with these other divisions. It's like, okay. It was just a bad game, and I thought Iowa was kind of a mirage all year anyway. It was just too good to be true.
Well,
now that people said, like, oh, they should have been in the top four, they should have been in those semifinals. Well, okay, I think yesterday kind of proved, but I still think they can compete. But it just,
could you imagine?
Stanford was they're a better team.
Could you imagine if Iowa had pulled off that win over Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game, and it was Iowa against Alabama in the playoff?
It would have been 68.
It wouldn't have crossed midfield.
It would have been ugly.
It was an ugly, ugly game. It was not a good couple of days here for the Big Ten in terms of Michigan State and
Ohio State and Iowa.
But Ohio
State beat Notre Dame.
Big win over Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's so banged up. They got so many injuries.
Ohio State should have been in the playoff. That's the best. That's the only elite team right now in the Big Ten. That's the only team I want representing the Big Ten. Urban Meyer's led Ohio State Buckeyes. I think Michigan is on the rise. They blew out a really bad Florida team. Florida's trash.
Yeah.
41-7, but let Jim Harbaugh get his players in there, and this is year one. It's going to take him 2 or 3 years to get all of his blue-chip recruits in there.
Harbaugh's going to have the top-rated quarterback out of high school every season for the length when he's at Michigan. To play in his style of offense at Michigan for Jim Harbaugh.
Let me ask you this, though. How long is he actually going to stay at Michigan before he goes and takes a pro job? Because he's not going to stay there.
He's a control freak. He loves to be in control. And you can't control NFL players. You can't control millionaires. You can't. He was walking around. I was reading stories last year when they fired him in San Francisco that he was walking up to, like, you know, the offensive linemen and, like, getting in their face and, you know, cussing at them. And they're like, dude, leave me alone. You know, like, that doesn't fly anymore. That style of coaching has sort of been phased out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely fits better in the college game. But at the same time, these guys always get the itch to go back. I mean, look at all the success that Pete Carroll had at USC. Mm-hmm. And then he still got the itch to go back. And he failed twice as an NFL head coach. Jim Harbaugh was successful. It's just that, obviously, the front office and everything that's going on with the 49ers is a mess, too. But
I think Harbaugh will win a national championship in Michigan. And maybe at that point. But I don't see him. I think he's got big things planned for them. You know, I think he's going to find a way to build a dominant program that can compete with Ohio State and Urban Meyer, and I think he will win a national championship there.
We have the ratings, the overnight ratings for the two national semifinals. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that next. Huge drop-off from last year.
Bad. Bad program.
The college football playoff lost a third of their audience from last year to this year. Swing and a miss. Here's the guest list. Dave Bennett joins us at 3:35, voice of the Cats. Called the Outback Bowl yesterday. Calling Cat Hoop tonight. The man is racking up the miles.
He's a machine. Mr. Cat doesn't stop. He's the best.
Our Bears insider, Adam Hogue, 4:35. Matt Snyder, MLB writer for CBS Sports at 5:35. And then Vincent Goodwill at 6:05. Bulls insider, CSN Chicago. Why do the Bulls play better when Derrick Rose is off the floor? 312-981-7200. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Sam Panayanovich. You've got the beat on 720 WGN. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. Tom Skilling's got you covered. Weeknights, WGN TV News at 10.
I just set my mind to, I got to be 6'2". I heard that if you drink milk, that builds strong bones, and convinced myself that I'll just drink as much milk as I possibly can drink. prayed about it a lot. I want to be 6'2", I want to be 6'2". And then when I went to school here at St. Francis Elementary School, I got a job as the milk distributor.
This is starting in what grade?
Third grade.
You made this decision.
So we just started delivering milk every day, and we got one free milk for delivering all the milk. But every kid that was absent, you know, that tray would go back to the little milk room, and I would just drink as much milk as my belly could hold. I drank a lot of milk, Andrea. A lot of milk. Whole milk, though. Not the candy ass 2% or skim milk.
Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, that clip courtesy of HBO, talking about milk. It drives me nuts when people say milk.
Milk. It's also not Illinois. It's Illinois. But regardless, Jim Harbaugh is nuts, and I love the guy.
Mike Jacobson put that together. We're going to be playing, as we bring you back from most of the breaks, we'll play some highlights of some of the best quotes from 2015. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we will hear from Pernell McPhee. I'm sure he's in there.
One of the best quotes here, because I pulled up this Harbaugh story from a couple months ago. He says, quote, "I truly believe the number one natural steroid is sleep, and the number two natural steroid is milk, whole milk. Three would be water, four would be steak." It's hard to argue with that. One of his players had a little bit of a pneumonia, and he prescribed him whole milk and push-ups. Do 100 push-ups, drink a glass of whole milk, and you should be good. So if anybody out there is a little sick, get some milk, do some push-ups, you'll be good to go.
I drink a lot of milk, Andrea.
He is crazy.
He's nuts.
And he went before the Ohio State game. This was the last game of the regular season. They went to Bo Schembechler's tombstone and had a Buckeye, an actual Buckeye, and he crushed it with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And it went viral, and then they got smoked by almost 30 points.
He also offered up some Halloween trick-or-treating advice. Did you see this earlier?
No.
He advised his kids to get two costumes. That way they can go out, get the first round of candy, come back home, change, go back out. You can hit the same houses twice. That's Jim Harbaugh's advice to the kids. I like it. More candy.
A lot of milk.
Milk, not milk.
If you're going to go to the face, come with some knuckles.
I don't even know what's going on. Here are the ratings from the college football playoff. Just the semifinal game. So last year, 2014, the first game had a 15-5. Second game had a 15-3. What do you think the numbers were this year, Kev? 15-5, 15-3 last year.
Around 9 or 10?
Yeah, 9-9 and 9-7. So putting the first national semifinal on at 3 o'clock on a work day.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my first point, is that a lot of people work on New Year's Eve, mostly half days, but still, you're running around, everyone's kind of getting ready for the party. When I saw that, I go, you know, today would have been perfect for it.
They flubbed it.
Today would have been ideal.
Awful decision. And then, the games weren't even really good.
No, awful.
That was a disaster. Everything that could have went wrong was scheduling, with the competitiveness of the games.
And apparently, I'll have to look up the story, but apparently ESPN was trying to not have them on New Year's Eve. It wasn't ESPN's decision to have them yesterday.
They actually offered a last second out at the table. Are you sure you want to keep them on New Year's Eve?
Sure you want to do this?
Are you positive? You want to put Nick Saban up against Dick Clark?
We're kind of experts in this whole programming area. You may want to take some advice, NCAA.
Well, it was funny. I was doing sports updates for the Rokan show, and actually Brian
Noonan.
3-7
Monday through Friday.
3-7 Monday through Friday on New Year's Eve. And Brian Noonan was filling in, and I gave an update to the Clemson game because it was, I think it was the first update of the Clemson game at 3:30 because it started at 3. And he talks up to me in the intercom and says, wait a minute, that's the semifinals are today? I said, yeah. So he didn't even know. And Brian Noonan, he's a big sports guy. So, I mean, they really flubbed that one.
312-981-7200. Did you watch? Did you even care? Because I talked to a lot of people that said, New Year's Eve, I'm not home. I'm not watching. I'm partying. Or I'm with the family. Or I'm doing anything but sitting on my couch watching football.
Or at the Steve Cochran Show, New Year's Eve comedy show.
Fancy parties, you got the dinners, you got, you know, everything's going on.
There's too much going on. That's like when everyone's setting up and getting ready for their party. Terrible decision by them, and it showed in the ratings. Huge drop. What were the numbers again, Sam? 15 from last year down to a 9-10.
Yeah, less than 10 for both games. And where they really got hit was in the demographic of 17 to 35.
Yeah.
That's where they got crushed. Well, like, nobody. 0.0. Mm-hmm. Because nobody's home.
No.
So, no. I don't know. You got to figure something out. But like you said, though, they had an opportunity. I mean, they could have done it today.
Today would have been
ideal. Saturday. You get those 2 days of drinking. A lot of people don't want to go out after New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. You're home. You're lazy. Bag of chips on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching college football. But they thought they had this brilliant idea because sports always want to capitalize off of holidays.
And, yeah, the games were terrible. Why do you think these bowl games have been so bad? All up and down the board, they've all been bad.
I think a lot of teams that shouldn't be in better games are granted the chance to play there because they had better records than other teams. But just because you have a better record in the regular season doesn't mean you're a better team. If that makes any sense.
Right, because...
like, Northwestern should not have been in the Outback Bowl against Tennessee. It should have been Northwestern against Florida. Should have been Tennessee against Michigan. Those games would have both been better. They were both blowouts. It's nothing against either of the programs, but it was 45-6, 41-7. If you would have flipped those two teams, those games would have been better.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of the conferences, which skews the records a little bit. But I don't think that the Big Ten, and this has been an ongoing argument now for a few years, SEC is obviously the best conference in college football. I honestly believe that the Big Ten has narrowed that gap, and I think they're closer. I know it didn't show yesterday. It was a couple ugly games for Big Ten teams, but I don't think there's as big of a gap as many think.
Well, the SEC, if Arkansas holds on here, we've got the game on right here, 21-10, they're up on Kansas State. If Arkansas wins, the SEC as a whole will have 8 wins this bowl season. That's never been done before.
I'm not saying the play has dropped it or anything like that. I'm just saying I think the Big Ten, especially now that you have Harbaugh and Urban Meyer in the Big Ten, I think they've really narrowed that gap, and it's not as widespread as people had thought before.
But that's it. After Ohio State and Michigan, nobody's really shown out. So, you
Michigan
know,
State, Iowa had a good year.
Well, in the bowls, though.
Oh, okay.
They got murdered. But Michigan State's still trying to score. They didn't even get in the end zone. They didn't kick any field goals. They didn't get a safety. They got nothing. It's hard not to score. You know how hard it is not to score in a football game?
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to Mr. Cat on the other side of news here. We're going to break down the game, and we'll do a little hoops preview. Cats basketball playing pretty well to start the season.
Yeah, 13-1 or 14-1.
13-1, yeah. And they have a tough one tonight against number 4 Maryland.
Now, Maryland and Northwestern each have one loss, North Carolina.
Yep.
So there's a common opponent there.
Here we go.
That should be good. I wonder how, how do I want to phrase this? Is it more exciting for Dave Bennett to call a bowl game win, or would it be more exciting for him to call the first Northwestern tournament game?
Ooh.
When it happens. Because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I think it might happen this year.
Well, it takes usually 20 wins to get in.
20 wins, they're at 13, and the Cats are red hot right now, man. They look good, so... we'll get a quick little preview with Ennett, but they'll be out at Welsh Ryan Arena. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. We'll have it right here on 720 WGN.
By the way, the Blackhawks return to the United Center tomorrow. We'll have that pregame at 5:30. Hawks and the Senators. Patrick Kane named the captain for the NHL All-Star Game. They did it a little bit differently this year, and we'll break that down a little bit later. But we've got a trip to Minneapolis we want to tell you about. You can come with WGN Radio and spend a hockey-filled three-day weekend away in Minneapolis, February 20th through the 22nd, you'll travel by a chartered coach north to the Twin Cities to see the outdoor alumni game at TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. Then on Sunday, Blackhawks and the Wild at the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game. Your tour includes accommodations at the Hampton Inn, Minneapolis downtown. For more information, call Sunrise Tours 800-881-8804. That's 800-881-8804 to book your tour or find pricing and booking information at WGNradio.com/events. News coming up, 720 WGN.
Second down, goal to go. Snap to Dormati. He'll give it Kelly again. Kelly reaching for the end zone. Touchdown, Tennessee. John Kelly puts the exclamation mark on this one for the Volunteers with 4:24 to go.
Welcome back to The Beat, 720 WGN Radio. It's time for Wildcat Insider, and the man you just heard on the call of the Outback Bowl, Dave Ennett, getting ready to call some Northwestern hoop tonight. Hey, Dave, Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year, guys. Hope you all had a nice holiday.
Dave, it's Kev. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bud.
I'm happy to tell you this, and I mentioned it earlier on the show, but before we get into breaking down the game, I wanted to tell you this. That we were out at Steve Cochran's New Year's Eve show, and I told the when I was on stage, I told the crowd that my 2016 New Year's resolution is no fast food for the first month. I thought you'd be proud of me, Dave.
I'm very proud of you. Now let's see if you stick to it.
Well, we're officially going to kick it off on Monday because it's too hard to start something like that on the weekend.
Oh, of course. Of course. But
Dave,
you got the NFL playoffs next weekend, so you got to take that into account too, Kev.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be tough, but, you know, I got to do something big for 2016.
Dave, we were actually putting together the prep for the show yesterday, and Kevin texted us a picture, and in the picture, the Outback Bowl was on the TV, and then he was eating a blooming onion at Outback Steakhouse.
He told me he was going to do that. They actually sent a blooming onion into our booth during the game yesterday. Saw it. I didn't have any of it. But it was pretty much a buffet the entire game going in the press box. And there were certain other people in the booth who I will not name, Ted Albrecht, Adam Phillips, who were pretty much, Mark Harmon, who were pretty much eating the whole time.
So we've got to talk about the game, the Outback Bowl, Tennessee over Northwestern. Were you surprised with how quickly things got out of hand? Because Justin Jackson scores, you know, it's 10-6, but then it was 35 unanswered for the Vols. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't either. And, yeah, I was surprised because that hasn't been their characteristic this year. I mean, they've fallen behind in some games, but they've managed to hang in there. And it's still, it didn't get way out of hand until the fourth quarter. You just play the highlight of Kelly's touchdown, which I mentioned on the air. I said, well, that should do it. But then, of course, they had a 100-yard pick six with 8 seconds to go, which wrapped up the scoring. So things looked even a little worse than maybe they should have. But, I mean, it got away from them. There's no question. And I think eventually we saw this in the Iowa game. And I think that's the one that parallels it the most, where they at halftime it's 16-10 in favor of Iowa, and then they can't get anything going in the third quarter. Iowa comes out and scores, and eventually even the best defense is going to wear down. And I think that happened to them yesterday. There's no real mystery to it. I just think that they didn't play well. I thought Tennessee played very well, and it's kind of hard to figure out sometimes why teams go into a game like that and don't put together a great performance. It certainly doesn't make Northwestern unique if you look at some of the other bowl games that have been played the last few days. I mean, there have been some bad performances by, I think, pretty good football teams. So, yeah, it does happen, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, I'll maintain what I said on the air yesterday. They had a wonderful year. They played great defense all year. They ran the ball well all year. Yeah, they had some ups and downs offensively, no question about it. But for the most part, they were a very solid 10-3 football team that had a bad day on New Year's Day.
Yeah, and Dave, that's what I was going to ask you. It's rough end of the season, but still 10 wins with a rookie, freshman rookie quarterback in Clayton Thorson. A lot to build on for Clayton Thorson. Had some really solid play this year as a true freshman. What does he need to work on? What does this team need to build on for next season and moving forward?
Well, I just think he did get better as the year went on. Unfortunately, yesterday, what we hadn't seen all that much, you know, we saw the turnovers come back into play, and he threw two interceptions, then the senior Zach Oliver threw two of them. But, you know, they just couldn't get a lot going in their passing game yesterday. I mean, obviously, they have to have a little more balance there. They were the bottom-ranked passing offense in the Big Ten this year. But, you know, I think, again, with a and I agree with Pat Fitzgerald on this, which you have a guy who wins 10 games at quarterback in this league, that should be the measuring stick. And I think the guy has shown the ability. He's shown the talent. He's shown that he can make plays with his legs and with his arm. But now, you know, I think it's going to fall on him to really have a strong offseason, because I know there'll be some way that they'll find some competition for him when they get to Camp Kenosha next year. And nobody's going to ordain him the starting quarterback. But I think it's I think that he took over the reins this year with the idea that he's going to be a four-year starter at quarterback for them. And I think he's certainly got the ability, and he's got the leadership, and he's a smart enough guy to do it. But he's going to need some help, too, from the rest of the offense. So I think that's, you know, only some of it falls on Clayton Thorson. It falls on other guys in that offense as well.
Pat Fitzgerald was talking earlier in the season about how the Cats should have been considered at one point for the college football playoff. Not the way he obviously wanted this season to end. What was his mood like after the game?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't talk to Pat. We had him on the post-game show. Ted was down in the locker room, and just listening to him, I clearly was disappointing. Look, nobody expected, Sam, this team to play the way they did. You know, I think they felt really good about the way they practiced, not just back in Evanston, but once they got to Tampa this week, I think they felt like they were healthy, ready to go, very well prepared for the game. I think they felt good about it. And I think even when it's 7-0 and then 10-0 and then it's 10-6, you know, I still think they felt okay about the way things were going in that game. I just think in my mind, you know, sometimes games do get away from you. And the thing that I will always come back to when I look back at that game yesterday was a 1st and 10 at the Tennessee 25 in the first quarter of a scoreless game. They end up having to settle for a field goal try, which they miss, and then Tennessee goes down the other end, scores a touchdown, and takes the lead. Because those are the kinds of opportunities in a bowl game you really need to convert on. And Tennessee was able to, and for the most part, they did get a turnover deep in Northwestern territory they weren't able to cash in on. But I think for the most part, they did, and Northwestern didn't. So, you know, he's disappointed, but I think Pat recognizes what a good year they had. You know, and he also recognizes that he's got a lot of guys coming back, and he's got some guys who never saw the field this year who also will add talent to this program. And that's the thing I think that you look at. People say, well, where'd Northwestern come from? Well, they've been building to a 10-win season. You know, they had back-to-back 5-win seasons, but in those two seasons, they were 4-0 in one of them, and then when they proceeded to lose a bunch of games, they lost an overtime game, a triple overtime game. They lost on a Hail Mary. I mean, those are losses. You can't get away from that. And they went 5-7 last season. They beat Notre Dame in South Bend. They beat Wisconsin. So it's not like this was a team that had to build from ground zero. They were building to a 10-win season. And I think they can take what they did this year and even improve on that. But obviously they're going to lose some key guys from this year that are going to leave some big shoes to fill.
And, Dave, one of the guys I enjoyed watching play all season was Anthony Walker on the defensive side of the ball, the linebacker. He's got speed. He's a complete package and really fun to watch. And he was all over the field yesterday. Can you just talk about his play and how much he means to Fitz's defense next year?
No, he was tremendous, Kev. And I don't think he was 100% yesterday. And Adam Hogue down on the sidelines mentioned a couple of times it looked like he was laboring a little bit. Now, he stayed in there. He hung in there and gave it everything he had. But it did appear on a couple of plays that maybe he was, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if there was what kind of injury it was, if in fact he was hurt, but it did appear that there was something bothering him. And look, he's clearly not only first team all Big Ten. I can't figure out why he didn't get more consideration for some of the awards specific to defense and to his position, the Butkus Award, that kind of thing. I would imagine he's going to be on every watch list for those awards next year, and will be on the Big Ten preseason watch list. And guy had a great year. He's got great speed. He's got a great nose for the ball. He always seems to be around it. He's a great tackler in the open field. So I just think they're really fortunate to have a guy like that in the middle. And he's a big reason this defense, I think, played the best defense that has been played at Northwestern since the Rose Bowl season 20 years ago.
So Northwestern football wraps up with a 10-3 record. Northwestern basketball tonight will have the pregame at 6:45, and then Dave will have the call at 7. Northwestern 13-1, Dave, and a big one tonight against Maryland.
It is. It's a big game, Sam, against the Maryland team that had to come from behind to beat Penn State at home in their opener, but they are a very good team, and I don't think anybody is surprised to see Maryland where they are. They're ranked number 4 in the country. Their only loss came to the Big Ten ACC Challenge on the road at North Carolina, which was kind of an old-fashioned ACC rivalry game, except that Maryland's now in the Big Ten. But Maryland, like Northwestern, has a real standout freshman in Diamond Stone, who went off on Penn State the other night. He set a Maryland freshman record with 39 points. He had 12 rebounds. He made 19 of 25 free throws in that game. So he's going to be obviously a load for Northwestern to contend with tonight. But then Northwestern's got this Derek Parton, who's played 2 games, and he went off in that game against Nebraska with 28 points, a double-double. And I would imagine that the fans are going to be clamoring to see more of Derek Parton in Evanston tonight. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think they're excited. Northwestern has matched its best 14-game start ever. And they've got this home winning streak going. They're ready to rock, and I think there are only a few tickets left for tonight. So it's going to be a great atmosphere, a lot of fun, and a chance for Northwestern really to, I think, to make a statement. A lot of people have looked at their 13-1 record and said, okay, now who have they beaten? Well, I think they've got some nice wins in there. They've beaten some teams that aren't very good, but you know, everybody has. I mean, that's kind of the way non-conference seasons go, and not everybody's beaten all those teams they're supposed to beat. And for the most part, totally Northwestern has. The only loss they have is to North Carolina. So I think that Northwestern's got a great chance tonight. I think it's going to be a great game against Maryland. And if they can win and get to 2-0 in the Big Ten, I think as you look towards the early part of their schedule, I think that they can kind of make some noise here in the conference in the early going. It's be an awful lot of fun for them.
I can feel it, Dave. Whether it's this year or next year, you're going to call that tournament game.
Well,
you're going to do it. You're going to get it done, Dave.
I hope I'm around for it, Sam, but I will tell you this, that interesting numbers from Stats, Inc., that from since 1997 through last season, there have been 26 teams in the Big Ten that have started 13-1 through 14 games, and of those 26 teams, only one has missed the NCAA tournament. That's not,
it's going to happen.
You don't want to put the whammy on them. There's a long way to go in this thing. but certainly, with all that Northwestern has endured and some seasons of promise where they've been knocked off the tracks by injury and misfortune, for them to get off to this kind of start to be playing as well and scoring as well. They're averaging 80 points a game. It's been a long time since there was a Northwestern team that averaged 80 points. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I think it's going to be a great matchup with Stone and, of course, Mello Trimble, preseason player of the year of the Big Ten, and an outstanding point guard who's going against an outstanding point guard in Bryant McIntosh. So it ought to be a lot of fun.
Get a cat nap in. We'll have the pregame at 6:45, Northwestern and Maryland. Dave Vennett with us now, and you'll hear him against, Northwestern against Maryland. Thanks for hopping on, Dave.
You bet, guys. Have fun.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Vennett, our sports director and the voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. We have to grab a timeout, but first, the world-famous WGN Chicago personalized calendars for 2016 are available now in the featured section on WGNradio.com. This year, Chicago is captured in black and white, presented in a special and one-of-a-kind way in the 2016 Two Kinds calendar. This is the 8th year for those highly sought-after calendars, and this is the first year it's all black and white. Not only does it feature Chicago landmarks as seen through the lens of our spectacular photographers, but the images are crafted with your name seamlessly blended in. You will enjoy a view of Chicago that will change the way you look at the city forever. These black and white calendars add a whole new level of class and elegance. Give a gift that is completely 100% original. WGNRadio.com to find out more. Scroll down to the feature section. Make a purchase of our calendar, and a portion of the proceeds benefit JDRF. To make 2016 an epic year, you have to start with an epic calendar. The Two Guys Calendar, available in the feature section at WGNRadio.com.
Sam, real quick, before we go, we got to throw out the text question for today. We want some text coming in, 312-981-7200. What's on your 2016 wish list? Your Chicago sports wish list? Maybe you have a favorite college team? For the Cats fans out there, I'm sure your wish is an NCAA tournament appearance. So it could be anything. What is your wish? What's on your wish list for 2016? Text it in, 312-981-7200.
3:53 in Chicago, January 2nd. Happy New Year on the beat. 720 WGN, Sam Panionovich and Kevin Powell. And you've got breaking news.
Breaking news, Sam. We teased it at the top. And this is, I'm not happy with it, but I'll get your thoughts about it. I'll tell you what McDonald's is planning to do. They're rolling it out on Monday. They're getting rid of the dollar menu, Sam.
It's a joke.
They're getting rid of the dollar menu. Are you kidding me? Replacing the dollar menu is the McPick 2 menu. All right, this is all you, these are the options. This is it. Okay, so for $2, you choose two of the following items: McChicken, McDouble, mozzarella sticks.
I see. Hold on.
Or a small french fry.
Hold on. I'm not going to McDonald's for mozzarella sticks.
I'd eat them. I'm gonna try them out. But after my 30 day window, I don't get it. The dollar menu is legendary at McDonald's. You got your double cheeseburger, the McDouble, McChicken. You get a hash brown, the sausage burritos in the morning. I don't like the move, Sam, but McDonald's is trying to change things up a little bit. Sales are down. I got to pick up the pace. You can help out a little bit. But I don't get it. They're getting rid of the dollar menu. It's the McPick 2 menu coming this Monday.
I've probably ordered off the dollar menu in my life.
Every time I go to McDonald's, I order off the dollar
menu. I can't even count that high.
Because normally what I'll do is I'll order one of the meals. You know, maybe a number one. Get a Big Mac and fries in your drink. But it's like, you know what? Let's just to be safe.
That's enough for most people.
For most people, not for me, Sammy. Yeah, I'll throw in a McChicken.
Just toss it on.
You know what I mean? Throw in an extra small fry just in case, just to be safe.
We used to stop at the McDonald's on Stony Island on the way to high school in the morning. You know, we had to be at school. 8:20 was when the first bell rang, and we'd be in the parking lot of McDonald's walking in at like 8, you know, 12, trying to get our hash browns and our McMuffins and everything. I'm still torn by the mozzarella thing. I'm not going to McDonald's for mozzarella sticks.
I'm not going there for mozzarella sticks, but if you go there for your burger, your Big Mac, it's like, yeah, throw in the mozz sticks. Might as well.
So what's now? I mean, the McPick 2?
Yeah, and there's only four items to choose from. They need to bring me in as a consultant or something. You know what I mean?
One time I went to the McDonald's down here, not the rock and roll McDonald's, but the one, you know, the big one on, what street is that, Ohio or Ontario?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this was when I was working at a parking garage back in college. And, you know, we grew up with the dollar menu. Mm-hmm. You go to McDonald's, you get, you know, 10 McMuffins or whatever, it's 10 bucks. Mm-hmm. So I was buying breakfast for the staff, and there was five of us. So I said, can I get 10 sausage McMuffins? And the lady says, pull around for your total. I got $10, you know, 10, 25 in my hand. That'll be $22.50. I'm like, $22.50?
Well, did you get just the sausage McMuffin?
No, this was off the dollar menu. But there is no dollar menu at the fancy McDonald's.
Right, downtown.
So I literally, I pulled out. I couldn't do it.
Couldn't afford it.
$22 for 10 sandwiches at McDonald's.
Yeah, this is from a USA Today article. It says, with rivals Wendy's offering customers a four-item meal for $4 and Burger King heavily promoting 10 chicken nuggets for $1.49. That's a great deal, by the way. The nation's biggest fast food chain is turning its attention to customers that McDonald's CEO Steve Easterbrook says his company has mistakenly ignored. So we'll see. I'll try it out. But, you know, as I mentioned before, I will not be eating fast food for the first 30 days of 2016. That's my New Year's resolution.
312-981-7200. Matt joins us now from Indiana. Hey, Matt, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. What's going on?
Trying to decide if I want to eat mozzarella sticks at McDonald's, apparently. I guess that's the dilemma of 2016.
No, they've lost their minds.
What are your thoughts about the McPick 2?
What they used to do good, which was make a good burger and good fries. And they need to put the fries in beef fat and stop this nonsense that they're doing now, or they have been doing for a long time with the, you know, everything cholesterol-free, this other thing. Nobody goes to McDonald's for that.
Right.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
So wait, you don't go there for the salads?
Yeah, right.
Hey, Matt, what's your order when you go to McDonald's?
What do you get?
What do you order?
Anymore.
Oh, you haven't been in a while?
I don't even go there anymore. The only thing I get there is a drink for a buck. That's it.
You do get that large drink for a dollar, that big high C. I'm thirsty.
Great deal.
Great deal. Have a good one, Matt. Thanks for checking in.
They need to go back to what they used to do well and stick with it because that's what people want. They don't want all this nonsense. It's confusing. Every week they get some new gimmick, and it's just, it doesn't work.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Catch you later.
That is a true fan. Put the beef fat back in the game.
I like the passion for Matt in Indiana.
Rob Hart's up in the WGN newsroom. What do you think about this dollar menu going away? I mean, I assume we work in radio. We're in the business. We eat a lot of fast food.
It's two sides of the same coin, is it not?
That's a very tough question to answer.
How so? What do you mean, Rob?
I mean, it seems like the same deal, and maybe they are just trying to package it differently because the dollar menu has run its course. But my question for you, Kevin Powell, is this.
Yes.
How many ways can you split hairs on your no fast food pledge for 2016? How can you legislate yourself around it? For example, if you go to a tavern and they have upscale hamburgers and it takes 25 minutes for them to deliver your hamburger, those are still the basic staples of fast food, but it is not food fast.
So I'm glad you bring this up. I should have clarified. I'm going just your traditional fast food. Okay, so the obvious ones, your McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell.
So you can still have like an Italian beef.
Oh, absolutely. That's not fast food.
It's not fair.
No, that's fine. I'm just talking about the French fries and the burgers from McDonald's and Wendy's. But Taco Bell's going to be tough for a month.
What about Portillo's?
No, that's fine. I can eat Portillo's.
That's fast food.
Nah,
there's a drive-thru.
No, it's not. No. Hey.
No, if it has a drive-thru, that's fast.
Semantics, all of it.
When I signed up for this, no one brought up Portillo's, all right? I'm still getting an Italian beef.
All righty. Well, we got some text on the McDonald's thing. We'll get to some of that in a little bit. We got to get to the news first. We'll take a timeout, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Connor McKnight, Jared Payton.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Panionovich and Powell in for the guys on the beat. 720 WGN. Great conversation going into the news about fast food. And this started with McDonald's sort of pushing the dollar menu away.
Yes.
And it led to a debate about you telling me Portillo's wasn't fast food, even though there's a drive-thru.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of texts, and when Hogue's on at 4:30, I'm even going to ask Hogue. I'm going to ask all our guests today their thoughts on this. So what we're talking about is McDonald's getting rid of their dollar menu. Tragic, right? They're introducing this thing called the McPick 2 menu, and it's rolling out Monday. And you choose two of the following items for $2, a McChicken, a McDouble, mozzarella sticks, or a small French fry. You can pick two of those, $2. The math still works out, but the menu is much smaller. Now, this is, I'm not a fan of it. We were talking about it before, not a fan. And
it's a part of my childhood.
Rob up in the newsroom also asked me, kind of, because I'm not eating fast food for the first 30 days of 2016. That's my resolution.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Hey, man, I'm going to stick this through, and I'm going to do it. 30 days. It's starting Monday, though, because I can't start it on the weekend.
Yeah, but you got to go on the honor system, because we can't keep an eye on you 24-7.
Mike,
you're not going to be able to do it.
You can trust
me. No shot.
No way.
You have a food diary on WGNRadio.com where each week you take pictures of the food you consume, and I would say 97% of those come in the drive-through and or fast food.
It's the funniest thing, too. We go out and get breakfast or lunch. I'm like, what are you doing? He's getting like all the – he's like down on his knees taking pictures. He's getting the sun in.
I'm a dork taking pictures of his food, but I do it for the station.
But then we would do Preps Plus, which is a fine program here every Friday night during the high school – with Sam Pantianovich, and we would do that show every Friday during high school football season. And when I would maybe send you guys texts about how we would like to prep for the show, Kevin was always, oh, what are we going to eat? Are we going to get food? Yeah. And then I remember one time you did offer to bring McDonald's in, but that actually
did
never
offer
happened.
McDonald's. Now,
didn't happen. Let's just say this, though. The fast food microcosm, everybody eats it.
But nobody admits it.
Most people would be like, well, I don't know. But then late at night, you know, 10 p.m., you just left the bar.
I'm telling you, the hardest thing for me is going to be Taco Bell. It's going to be not eating Taco Bell. But the texters chiming in, 312-981-7200. We talked about mozzarella sticks at McDonald's. Okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to go there. But this, from the 847, we added a $1 mozzarella stick to our McDouble today. So I'm assuming they put it on the McDouble? That's innovation right there. It says we got three small sticks. Let's see. Everybody, we got tons of texts on this. Somebody said for the 815, I wish McDonald's would go back to the shakes they had 20-some years ago. I still like their shakes. From the 815, go to Burger King for their dollar menu. Just as good, if not better, than Mickey D's, and quit your whining. Am I whining?
Kurt told me Portillo's isn't fast food. I still think if there's a drive-through, it's fast food.
Now, it's very good. It's on the higher end of quality of fast food. But Portillo's is fast food. I'm sorry.
It's not
I make
food.
The order. I get it in 5 minutes. How is that not fast food?
It's not. It's just not. It doesn't fit into the fast food territory. Now, Adam Phillips, who one of our engineers here at the station, does a great job. He texts me. He chimed in on this. He says Italian beef is not fast food. Adam Phillips is one of the great eaters of the world, sending us photos of his feast at the Outback Bowl, by the way. Now, if you can drive through and pick your food up, that does not make it fast food, okay? So I want to hear from the listener, 312-981-7200, is Portillo's considered fast food? I don't think it is.
Also, I'm gonna throw this in there, too. Now, it's healthy, but their motto is freaky fast, freaky good. Jimmy John's. Now, is that considered fast food?
Well, that's their whole business model. I mean, that's their raison d'etre, is to give you a sandwich in like 45 seconds.
And unless you are, you know, I mean, if you go with the number 9, which I think is the nightlife, and then you're
Italian
getting
nightclub.
The Italian nightclub, you're getting some grease in there. You're getting some salami, and I guess that's kind of greasy, but I consider Jimmy John's pretty healthy.
It's salami, ham, capicola, and cheese, Mike.
Rob's right, though. Like, I hang up the phone when you order Jimmy John's. When you hang up the phone, they're here.
I worked at Jimmy John's. It's because they only deliver within, like, a mile diameter. But that's why. They're really fast. But Jimmy John's, way too healthy to be considered fast food. I agree, Mike. Way too healthy.
I'm going to go with and say that Portillo's is not fast food.
All
Maybe
right.
This is just simply a supply and demand issue. But every time I go to Portillo's, in the amount of time that elapses between the point at which my order is written in pencil on a paper bag and I actually get it back, I have a good 10 to 15 minutes to admire the autographed picture of Nick D that smiles down on every Portillo's franchise,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
And I say to myself, one day, I'm going to get my autograph picture at Portillo's next to Brian Urlacher. But it takes about 15 minutes because they're making it with love. Therefore, it's not fast food.
Not fast food. Texter's coming in hot. 630, Portillo's is not fast food. They sell beer.
Right underneath that, 630, Portillo's, in all caps, is definitely fast food.
We just had somebody call in, but they couldn't hang on. They just wanted to give us a quick comment. They said there's burgers, there's hot dogs. That means it's fast food.
No.
Now, the hot dogs thing I think is a little questionable, but burgers?
They sell burgers at Smith and Walensky. Is that fast food?
Yeah, great point, Rob.
No, because it takes 40 minutes to come out.
No, it doesn't. Someone from the 209, because this whole conversation was spawned off the fact McDonald's is getting rid of their dollar menu, replacing it with the McPick 2 menu, which rolls out Monday from the 219. I feed a paving crew off the dollar menu like kings. Those days are now gone.
Well, yeah, now you look at the dollar menu and things are $129, $149, $169.
Now, okay, here we go. Now, here's another one I got to throw out there. McDonald's owns Chipotle. Now, we know Chipotle is having a little bit of a rough time right now.
That's not fast food.
Is it Chipotle or Chipotle? I've been saying Chipotle for years. Okay.
Maybe it's whatever.
It's Chipotle or Chipotle in Portage Park.
So, no, you wouldn't consider that fast food because, honestly, I absolutely love Chipotle, and it's fast.
It's quality stuff.
You might get a little E. coli.
It's definitely not fast food, no question.
From our listeners, lots of texts about the mozzarella sticks, all of them bad, which is what I said. You don't go, you know, you pull into McDonald's. Can I help you? Can I get the mozzarella sticks?
From the 480.
What is wrong with you?
The sticks taste like burnt rubber. Uh-oh. I'm going to still get them. I mean, go to McDonald's. Support your local McDonald's, people. McD mozzarella sticks, meh. Portillo's from the 630, talking about is Portillo's fast food or not. From the 630, Portillo's serves healthy salads. So I guess that takes them off the fast food list.
My favorite part of the fast food game, though, and I know you've got this friend or this family member, they go to McDonald's, they get one of the value meals, the triple cheeseburger, the extra large fry, Diet Coke. Diet Coke.
Couple double cheeseburgers or McChicken, but a Diet Coke, please.
Let's bring in Adam in Brookfield. He joins the beat on 720 WGN. Hey, Adam, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I like the segment. This is cool.
Awesome.
As a purveyor of efficient food is what I would say.
There
Portillo's
you go.
Is the efficiency because every time you go into one of those places, especially the new ones, there was one I think in Frankfurt or down south or something when I was in a couple of years ago, just seeing a new one. And it was funny because those managers, those guys, they study those forms and they got that model down. I know it was the little cart in Villa Park, and now it's like, whoa, this is efficient. I mean, what other place can you go in the drive-thru? And like you said, 15 seconds later or maybe 15 minutes, but either way, you're getting quality stuff and they know what they're doing.
Adam, so are you considering Portillo's fast food or not?
I don't think so. I would say it's in its own class.
This is big to me because I've devoted my 2016 resolution not to eat fast food.
So for the first month of the year.
So we're trying to determine what is and is not fast food. So Portillo's isn't fast food, I'm good.
I'm sorry, Adam. Drive-through, fast food. Drive-through, fast food. There's a drive-through.
Yeah, but nobody else does it like them. They get you before you. How about this? You're actually ordering from a person because you don't even have to make it up to the speaker. How many times have you actually gone to Portillo's and ordered from that speaker?
That's right. They meet you at your car window.
Thanks
great
for checking
point.
In, Adam.
Yep.
All right, man. Thanks. Take Happy care, New Year.
Adam tags out. We tag in Laura in Des Plaines on 720 WGN. Hi, Laura.
Hi. You know, I think there are a lot of good foods that are fast, and there's a difference. If the food either comes out of a can or it's held together by preservatives or chemicals and it's all deep fried, then it's fast food. I don't know whose slogan it is, but it's good food fast. You can get some good food that's fast.
Absolutely you can, like a double cheeseburger from McDonald's.
But see, again, that's all chemicals. It's not real food.
Well, those are some good tasting chemicals.
Do you know how great of an idea it is to talk about food on an empty stomach?
I'm starving.
Laura, I am so
something
hungry.
Something that's just cooked in oil. And really has a shelf life of, you know, God only knows how long. Then it's fast food.
Laura, you put your vote in. Portillo's fast food or not?
No.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, you guys are all wrong. That's just
also,
the way it
too,
is.
I got to throw the texters are pointing this out, and this is my fault. Chipotle is no longer owned by McDonald's. They did own it at one point, and then they spun off on its own, but. But we all agree that you guys wouldn't think that's fast food either. Chipotle?
Chipotle? No. 773 says, guys, what is commonly referred to as fast food is known as QSR. Again, technical here. Quick service restaurants in the industry. Portillo's is considered a quick service restaurant. but it's not fast food. I can still eat it.
If I order my food at 4:15 and get it at 4:19, and there's a drive-thru.
They're just efficient, Sam.
It's
they're just
fast
efficient.
Food. The debate continues. The lines are full. 312-981-7200. He's Kevin Powell. I'm Sam Panionovich. I am also very, very hungry. This week, Chicago's Best is shining a light on five inspiring stories of giving back this holiday season. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Only in America can you fill up the phone lines talking fast food on a sports show. I love it. 312-981-7200. Sam Panionovich and Kevin Powell in on the beat. We shouldn't beat around the bush. Let's just go right to the calls.
I mean, let's reset what we're talking about here.
I guess you're right. We have to. I'm sorry. We've been doing it for like an hour.
All right. So the dollar menu going away to McDonald's. They're bringing in the McPick 2 menu. Which you pick from, there's four items on the menu, and you pick two of them for $2. Now, I, for 2016, have said I will not eat fast food for the first 30 days, starting Monday, because it's the weekend. Too hard to start on the weekend.
I guess you weren't a liar.
So we're trying to determine what is and is not fast food. The debate continues on whether or not Portillo's is fast food and what does determine fast food.
Steve is in Chicago. He joins us now on the beat. Hey, Steve.
Happy New Year's, guys.
You too.
Okay, I worked for a dining establishment where I grew up down in Florida, okay? And this place seats 1,850 people, if you include the banquet facility, all right? Their specialty is pork ribs. Oh. He started from his brother that came from Chicago. I'm not going to say the name of the company. But anyway, their specialty is baby back ribs, pork. Okay, they have a drive-through.
Yeah,
and it is a high-class, like four-star restaurant, and all you can get is a slab of ribs.
That's great.
A baked potato and a vegetable. That's all you can get from the drive-through, and it's their specialty. And it's one of the best restaurants I've ever ate or worked at. So maybe that can clear.
I agree. That's not fast food. Absolutely not. Thank
no,
you, Steve.
It's not.
Happy
You're
New
welcome.
Year. From the 708, a texter.
He texted a picture of a hot dog.
Portillo's is not fast food. Portillo's always gives you good quality food that looks like how it's pictured, and he's holding a hot dog.
See, here's another little caveat here. Look, from the 708 also, too. What about when Portillo's also has a Barnelli's attached to it?
Yeah.
That kind of throws... That's...
They have salads. They have salads.
I just get technical with it. If it's fast and I get it within 5 minutes, it's fast food. I'm sorry.
By the way, because there's some hardcore McDonald's fans out there, I'm with them. 815 says, I'm tired of people saying that McDonald's is not real food. It is 100% real food. They do not use additives or preservatives. It is better than the food you get at a grocery store. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm rolling with you, 815. I'm going to eat it no matter what.
Patrick is in Rolling Meadows. He joins us on 720 WGN. What's up, Patrick?
All right, quick question. If Italian beef is fast food, is pizza fast food?
No.
I don't think so.
Whoa. You can go to Rosati's and get a slice.
It's
in two minutes. It's
yeah, but pizza, you got to roll the dough out, make the dough, make the sauce.
You're playing semantics. It's fast food.
Look, I cannot go 30 days without pizza, right? It's not fast food.
Beef has to be cooked first. It's cooked thoroughly and ready. And then you can come and get it at any time. So that is not fast food to me. I got to be honest. It's not fast food. I can see what you're saying. Yeah, you can pull in a drive-thru, but that's because they've already got it's pre-made food. It's not, you know, fast food is, you know, again, it's a fine line. Because McDonald's also has pre-made food.
That's right.
Not always. Sometimes you got to wait for the fries.
I hear you. Thank you, Patrick. Happy New Year.
Take care.
77. Well, we lost him there. Sorry, Patrick. Thanks for chiming in. 773 says if it's not cooked at home, it's fast food. I don't know about that.
I mean, the pizza thing is true. Some places do pizza by the slice, but it takes. I mean, the fastest pizza place is Pump Hot Pizzas in 10 minutes in the oven. Like, they do the fire burning ovens and
not
all that.
Fast food.
No,
not fast
food. I don't think so.
Another texter, Portillo's, is fast casual. I like that. Let's just define a new category so I can, you know, continue to eat it.
The layers, the pyramids of the
fast
food
casual,
dynamic.
Fast
I did have to bring this story up, by the way. I remembered the Michael Jordan McDonald's story, but I didn't remember the details. He had a barbecue sauce called the McJordan sauce. It sold on eBay for $10,000
3 years ago. Yeah, it was like a found in a storage cabinet or something. And, yeah, I remember reading that story. But thank you for everyone chiming in. 312-981-7200. I am starving now. I want a Portillo's Italian beef with extra hot peppers if anybody wants to swing by the studios. And also a quick correction, that photo is not a hot dog. The guy was eating a, looks like a double bacon cheeseburger. Thanks for the 708. So this thing exploded here.
We'll have time for one more call here. We'll bring in Chris, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Starving, Chris. Never been hungrier.
I agree. Portillo's is not fast food.
Thank you, Chris.
What?
Thank you. I agree.
You have a reason, or I mean, do you have anything to go off of that?
Because every time you go in there, you don't get it within 2 minutes. Just like I would not consider Culver's fast food.
Hey,
because they make your food to order.
Hey, Chris, you're up in
Wisconsin. They give you a number.
Thank you, Chris. You're up in Wisconsin. We lost Chris. He dropped out. I was going to ask him if cheese curds are fast food.
This really got a lot of people. I was getting texts from people I haven't talked to in years. They're like, hey, Portillo's is fast food. Portillo's is not fast food.
Isn't this great? Because you could come in here with the greatest sports thoughts in the world. You could literally change the discourse and move the dialogue forward. That won't get any reaction, but you can do 30 minutes on whether or not Portillo's is fast food, and everybody in the next hour is going to be the picture of the dog wearing pants.
We promise we will talk sports. Adam Hogue coming up right after the news. We'll do some Bears, but this took off. I'm sorry. We're getting texts like crazy, and every phone line is lit up right now. All five phone lines.
This is The Beat, 720 WGN.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi.
Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
Nice work, Mike Jacobson, putting that together. The Adam Hogue rejoin, coming back to The Beat. This is actually Adam Hogue's show, but he's been in Florida enjoying some sunshine. He covered the Outback Bowl, actually covered the Buccaneers-Bears game, and you actually stayed there, didn't you, Adam?
I did. I was there for the whole week. It worked out nicely with that timing, but also allowed me to do a little bit extra prep for that bowl game. By the way, that cut with Barrett Jones is a perfect opportunity for me to plug something we're doing on our podcast next week.
Okay.
Which is a big award show for the entire season. And one of the awards we're going to do is the Brock Forzy Where Are They Now Award.
I like that. I love that.
I didn't even think about Barrett Jones as a candidate, but that is a perfect example of a possible winner of that award. Because he came and Hronos Grisu got hurt. I'm going, the only center on this roster is Barrett Jones. And John Fox, I think, told us all what he thought of Barrett Jones with the way he answered that question. And, of course, I don't know where Barrett Jones is now. I think he got signed to some other team, and he's certainly not a Bear.
Yeah, that was a dominant line at Alabama. They won the national title, crushed Notre Dame. And I remember Barrett Jones at halftime saying, they signed up for four quarters, not two, and they just pummeled Notre Dame. He's Adam Hogue, host of The Beat. Intentional Grounding is the podcast, and he's our Bears insider here on 720 WGN. This is it. Tomorrow, regular season over. Year one of the John Fox era. Bears and Lions, both teams are 6-9. I guess what's most on my mind is, you know, the grades you have for the job that both John Fox and Ryan Pace did this year with sort of a haphazard roster.
Yeah, I think overall pretty good. It's hard to be too upset about, you know, the big picture and what they accomplished in year one. I mean, if they end up losing on Sunday, that's a 6-10 record. That's only one game better than they did last year. But, you know, I think when you look at, you got to look at the bigger picture and the state of the roster. And I think there have been improvements. You know, obviously not all of Ryan Pace's free agent signings were home runs. Eddie Royal has certainly struggled, and Antrell Roll couldn't stay on the field. I think Pernell McPhee's a pretty solid player, but, you know, there's going to be questions about his knee going in the offseason too. But, you know, most free agents, I always say this, when you sign a big-name free agent, you got to kind of assume it's not going to work out, because more it seems like more times than not it doesn't. With the draft picks, though, that's where you want to really get value. And I think for the most part, you look at his draft class, and you know, as disastrous as it, you might look at Kevin White not even getting on the field in year one, he still looks the part, should contribute next year. And second-round pick looks pretty solid in Andy Goldman. Third-round pick, Jaronis Grisou, let's give him another offseason. But you got value out of Jeremy Langford in the fourth round. You got value out of Adrian Amos in the fifth round, and we'll see how Tyo Fabaluje is. So I think overall you look at Ryan Pace, pretty solid. And the coaching, I think, has been pretty good, as we've kind of seen the roster exposed, I think, in recent weeks. And so it's hard to knock anything John Fox did in year one, too.
Adam, the Matt Forte situation, I guess it's just going to come down to money, right? Because they'll take him back if the figure's right. Is there any indication of what a Matt Forte contract is going to look like moving forward money-wise? Because, you know, that's going to determine what they do. And if they don't sign Forte, is Jeremy Langford your starting running back, or you got to go out and get somebody?
Well, I think if Matt Forte is not back, it's that 1-2 punch of Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey, which I think the Bears are okay with. And I think that they'll be okay. I don't think that that's – I think you certainly do worse. And you look at John Fox's track record, that's kind of the exact kind of running back tandem he's always had, right? You know, not future Hall of Famers, but, you know, one or two guys – usually two guys that kind of works well together and can put together a solid running game overall. The way I look at that is, okay, that's fine, but I still think Matt Forte is the best running back on this roster. Mm-hmm. I think he's taken care of himself throughout his career. And at age 30, I'm still willing to give him ideally 2 years, but I think he's going to want three. And so let's look at the Eddie Royal contract. 3 years, $15 million. Let me ask you guys, would you do that?
Yes.
Yeah, I would too. I think
at that number,
probably,
yeah,
you're probably overpaying a little bit, and that's my guessing is that's probably a little bit more than they want to get, both in years and in dollars for a 30-year-old running back. But I would be with Matt Forte's track record, what he's accomplished as a Bear. I would certainly give that to him, and I kind of wonder. I think he might be willing to take that too, because I really do believe that he wants to remain a Bear. I don't think he wants to move his family. I think he cares about the running back legacy and the history of running backs within this franchise. And he knows he's right there with all the, you know, outside of Walter Payton, he's right there in all the record books in terms of running backs with the Bears. And I think that matters to him. So it'll be an interesting situation. And I don't know. I'm not willing to make any conclusion either way right now, but it'll certainly be one of the bigger storylines of the offseason.
Adam Hoge with us on The Beat. He's a host of The Beat, also the Bears insider for WGN Radio. You've talked about it for weeks now. You think the Bears are going to make a push for the playoffs next year. The biggest key for me this offseason, you have to court Von Miller as best you can. This is a guy who was drafted by John Fox, one of the best pass rushers in the game. I salivate at the thought of Von Miller and Pernell McPhee rushing the quarterback. That could be a real possibility for next season. You have to do what you have to do to make Von Miller happy.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you. I'm not expecting a very available. I think this conversation's probably happening in other markets about Alshon Jeffery, where they're probably saying, oh, man, whatever you do, you got to go after Alshon Jeffery. And here in Chicago, we're going, well, I don't think the Bears are going to let him go. And that's how I feel about Alshon. As much as the injuries have been an issue, I don't see a scenario where you can just let Alshon go. And
you just franchise him, don't you, Adam?
Well, exactly. And that's what I'm thinking is going to happen in Denver with Von Miller. It sounds great, and it's good conversation to have here in December. I just don't know that it's going to be even a possibility. But we'll see how it all plays out. certainly you can't argue with the logic, though, Sam. I mean, what a great addition that would be to the Bears' defense. And they're going to have plenty of money to spend, plenty of cap room.
Yeah, how much are we talking? I've heard that it's a lot. Do you know the exact, at least ballpark, how much money they actually have?
I think it's around $50 million.
That's a lot of cash.
A lot of cash to spend.
So, and we'll end up seeing here, I think usually around the combine is when the cap gets settled in terms of what it'll be. Usually we can ballpark at this point and kind of, that's why it's a fluid number because we don't really know what the cap is actually going to be. We can kind of guess how much money is going to be left. But the Bears are going to be towards the top of the NFL in terms of cap room. So, but you got to be smart with it. You don't have to necessarily spend it all right away. And the Bears got to be smart about looking about what the realistic expectations are for next year. As you mentioned, Sam, I think they can make a push for the playoffs next year. If they have a similar offseason as they had this past year, look, they were in this thing. I mean, they were 5-6. They were right there. They proved they could beat the Packers in Green Bay in a big primetime game. And then their talent within the roster was exposed a little. And I'm not saying that this roster is going to be great next year by any means. I don't think they're a team that's going to be able to compete for a Super Bowl. But could they overachieve, continue to perform well with this coaching staff? But that's another big question mark, obviously. What's going to happen with Adam Gase? What's going to happen with Vic Fangio? And that might limit how much we can talk about in terms of potential for the team. But I certainly think they're going to be in the mix late in the year, next year, whether it's for the division title or a wild card spot.
Adam, I think this is Jay Cutler's best season as a Bear. I think this is the best he's ever played with this team. There's no any sort of indication he won't play out his entire contract, right? Ryan Pace, John Fox, he's their quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's be careful. I mean, the money towards the end, basically after next year, and he's going to make $16 million next year, 10 of that's already guaranteed. Another 6 will kick in March. And then after that, it's pretty much a one-year option for the next 4 years, the last 4 years of the deal, in terms of there's no guaranteed money, so the Bears can let him go, pretty much let him walk, and you don't have to pay that out. And the issue, I think, is that money keeps going up. So do I think he's going to play out all 7 years of that contract as a Bear? I don't think so, unless he somehow restructures this contract and brings it down, because it's just the money's going to get to the level that I don't know realistically he could perform to that level, considering he's going to be getting older too, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's 32, so, yeah. Right? 32 years old.
Exactly. So if you're asking me, do I think the Bears are comfortable with Jay Cutler as their starting quarterback going forward? Absolutely. There's no question. He had a great season. He should be the starter next year, if not also the following year, and heck, maybe 3 more years. What I also think the Bears are conscious of, and I kind of think they should be going down this road, is whether it's this year or next year in the draft, if there's a guy that Ryan Pace really believes in, that they've done their homework in, that they think can be the next quarterback after Jay Cutler, then they should pull the trigger on that guy, whether it's in the first round or the seventh round or whatever. But that guy needs to have starter potential. He needs to be the guy that they believe can be the next franchise quarterback. And those guys aren't coming along very often. So you got to be patient, but if that guy's there this year in the first round, you know, if they're in love with, I don't know, even Connor Cook, who I'm not necessarily in love with, but let's say that's their guy, and he's sitting there in the second round, and that's who they believe in, then go ahead and pull the trigger. I have no problem with that. And I'm also, I've said this before, a big proponent in letting guys develop behind a veteran starter for a couple years. It almost never happens anymore. Usually when you're drafting your franchise quarterback, they end up starting week one as a rookie. And I just think that this is setting up for a situation where it'd be great if the Bears could get their guy, bring him in, let Jay start at least another 2 years, and then maybe turn it over. We'll see how it all plays out, though.
Probably 10 head coaching openings. We've already known that the Eagles, Browns, and Dolphins are all going to chase Adam Gase. Didn't mean to rhyme there, but sorry. Any chance he's back in Chicago?
Well, I'll say yes, just because this time last year, everyone thought Adam Gase was certainly getting one of those seven openings. I mean, it was a done deal. Every single person who talked about Adam Gase in Denver leading up to those playoff games, remember the Broncos had had one of the bye weeks, so he had done some interviews in that off week, including with the Bears for the head coaching job, and everyone thought he was gone. And he could have had the 49ers job, but he was, I don't want to say picky because he was doing the right thing, but he had certain demands and who he wanted to bring in as his assistants, and the 49ers had their own demands about who they wanted to be his defensive coordinator, and that was Jim Tomsula. So it just didn't work out in the end, and when it all played out, not only did Adam Gase not get the head coaching jobs, but everyone thought he was going to then go to Baltimore as the offensive coordinator. They ended up hiring Mark Trestman, of all people. So a lot of unpredictable things happen in the coaching business. And that's what happened to Adam Gase last year in the offseason is the perfect example of that. A lot of it's timing. I think it'll be a little bit easier for him because the Bears are not in the playoffs. So he doesn't really have to worry about those windows on when he can and cannot interview. He won't get passed up for jobs just because of having to coach a playoff game. And so, yes, if you're asking me, do I think he'll be gone? Probably. But is there a chance he could still be offensive coordinator? I mean, we saw last year that these things can be unpredictable. So I wouldn't completely rule out him coming back.
Adam, we sort of turned this segment into a season review bit here. And obviously, it's never too early to look ahead, especially for this team. But there is a game to be played tomorrow.
Wait, there is?
There is. A couple of six and nine teams going at it.
Woo!
Why should we watch this game? How ugly will it be, Adam?
Man, I don't really have any reasons other than if you're a big Bears fan, you're not going to see these guys again until August in the preseason. So, you know, spend one more Sunday watching.
Oh, it's football, right?
Football, right, yeah. Grab a couple beers out of the fridge.
Yeah, there you go.
A couple six packs to watch that.
Yeah.
Last place on the line. All right. 10 losses.
And Adam, before we let you go, we saved the hard-hitting questions for last. I've decided for 2016 my resolution is no fast food for the first 30 days. Tough for me.
Not the whole year, the first month.
Now, what we're trying to determine what I can and cannot eat and determine what is and what is not fast food. So it sparked quite the debate.
We had like 15 phone calls for a half an hour.
So the main restaurant, the main topic is Portillo's. Do you think it's fast food or is it not fast food? Because I really, really, really still want to be able to eat Portillo's during my 30-day trial here.
I don't think it is. And here's what I would put in as the qualifier. If it has a drive-through, it's fast food.
Exactly. That's what I said.
Oh, you're saying it is fast food.
That's what I said. I said you get the food in 5 minutes and there's a drive-through.
Yeah, so I think it is fast food.
Oh, you're killing me. Well, Adam, as somebody pointed out earlier, they called in. They said, you can go to a restaurant and get a slab of ribs. You get an Italian beef from – Italian beefs take hours because you got to slow cook the beef. And you can get ribs and all that stuff. So just because you're getting it from the restaurant into your car quickly – that doesn't mean it's fast food.
Thanks for siding with me, though. You're right. It is fast food. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is fast food. Now, if we're going to talk about like Chipotle and Qdoba.
That also came up. I said no, that they are not fast food.
I don't think that's fast food, even though you are getting your food pretty quickly.
Right.
There's no drive-through. So that's going to be my qualifier.
Just the
drive-through. If you go anywhere in the next month with a drive-through, whether you actually go through the drive-through or not, that is fast food, and you lose.
He is Adam Hoge, our Bears insider for 720 WGN. Read the Bears blog on WGNradio.com, the podcast, Intentional Grounding. And he will close out the season tomorrow, Bears and Lions. Follow him on Twitter, at Adam Hoge. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Always have to get the food in there, don't we? That's the first person actually agreed with me, though, so...
So he's got a really just a simple thought on it. If it has a drive-through, fast food.
That, right.
Yeah. I disagree, but we'll continue this debate because the texts are still coming in from a segment from 45 minutes ago.
It's 4:52 on Chicago. You're listening in Chicago. You're listening to The Beat.
I'm violent, and that's all you need to be violent.
Two words, Aaron Rodgers.
Hall of Fame. Two words.
Hit his ass.
That's it. Just hit him. Nothing else. We just need to hit his ass. He won't be able to run then. And go eat us some turkey dinner. Happy Thanksgiving.
One of the better quotes in Chicago, that's Pernell McPhee, Bears outside linebacker. Two words, Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, and let's get a turkey dinner. Playing throughout the show, just some memorable quotes, sports quotes from throughout the season. That's one of them. Earlier we played Harbaugh talking about his love of whole milk.
What a maniac.
Nut job. I wonder what he would say if Portillo's is fast food or not.
He knows it's fast food. He knows it is.
I think he'd side with me, Sam. I think he'd side with me. He'd be okay with it.
What does McPhee think? Do we have McPhee's number? Can we call McPhee?
We'll get him on the line.
Oh, we're halfway home on the beat on 720 WGN. This fast food thing took on a life of its own. That was probably the most fun I've had in the entire year. In
talking,
2 days of 2016.
Fast food. You know, here's the thing. Food. This is one of Jim Gaffigan, one of my all-time favorite comedians. You know, he says everyone eats fast food, but no one wants to admit to it.
Right.
You know, if somebody spots you, you're sitting at a McDonald's by yourself over a 10-piece McNugget, maybe a double cheeseburger, and you see someone looking at you, you know, you scurry off to the side, make up some sort of excuse why you're at the McDonald's.
If you actually go into a McDonald's and people watch, some of the nastiest stuff you will ever see. Like, you know, people eat so fast.
Oh, that's my problem. I just scarf down my meal in seconds. And I'll normally, I've gone through a large chunk of my meal from McDonald's before I even get out of their parking lot. You know what's the worst, though, is when you go to a drive-thru, you get your big order, right? And all you want to do is start eating your food, right? So you're driving home, maybe, or going somewhere. You're actually hoping for a red light because you want to stop and take a bite of your burger or your taco.
So you don't take the expressway home?
And it never fails. You hit every green light. You can't eat your burger until you get home. Craziness.
These are the things that you think about.
It is. It's pretty sad. I know.
We are going to talk some more sports. We've got 2 hours left. Actually, less than 2 hours. Cats pregame. Cats and Maryland at 6:45 with Dave Vennett. He'll have the call there. Matt Snyder, MLB writer for CBSSports.com. The White Sox are very interested in Yoenis Cespedes and Justin Upton. Only for 3 years or less, though.
Only for 3 years or less. If they land...
Alex Gordon, too, right?
If they land one of those guys... This is going to turn into, at least on paper, one of the best lineups in the league.
But the White Sox, quote-unquote, won the offseason last offseason.
That's why I said on paper. I said on paper. You have the addition of Todd Frazier. I mean, if you throw Cespedes into a lineup with Jose Abreu, Todd Frazier, and Cespedes, that's a pretty mean 3-4-5.
I don't know.
Do you think we could just give away LaRoche?
Rob, like, not
even,
the White
like,
Sox.
No, just take him. We don't want to give you.
No
just,
one will take the man.
Rob, you know about those Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn offseason darts. They always they come and they go,
wait,
right?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, obviously everybody has a great deal of offseason trepidation just because of the way kind of Adam Dunn turned out and failed to meet expectations. However, those expectations were set sky high by the fans.
Yeah, he had 40 home runs in Washington.
And he was, after that disastrous 2011, he was okay, but the narrative had been established. But people were expecting to hit like 60 home runs in the cell, and that was too much. But if the White Sox get Cespedes, they will be a very good team, a threat in the AL Central next year. And on top of that, I think that three-year discussion that you're going to talk about on the other side of the news, that's someone negotiating through the media.
Holy touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Connor McKnight, Jared Payton.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720
WGN. Just past five bells in Chicago, January 2nd, 2016. Happy New Year, wherever you may be. Thanks for giving us the time of your day. He's Kevin Powell. I am Sam Panayotovich. Before we get to the Harris poll, which pretty much rates the athletes of all time and puts them in order of who's most dominant and yada, 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 we wanted to get back to our texting post. We had two questions that we've been kind of reinforcing throughout the show. The first one was about fast food.
Fast food. We're trying to determine whether or not you think Portillo's is or isn't fast food. Also, what qualifies as fast food. As I continue my journey into 2016, trying not to eat fast food for the first 30 days, starting on Monday.
And the second question was your Chicago wish list for 2016. What's on it in your sports realm? And lots of Blackhawks love on the text line. They want another Stanley Cup, the fans
yes,
do.
Yes, lots of Blackhawks love.
As if 3 in 6 years wasn't enough.
And some Bears ones, just a Bears winning season. So keep those coming. The fast food or your wish list for 2016, 312-981-7200.
So no surprise who the Harris poll has is the number one athlete in the history of sports. Michael Jordan is number one.
Yes. Harris poll asked America who the best athletes of all time were. That's what they set it up. That was the question. No question at number one. Yes, Michael Jordan, number one.
So well, they did, no kidding.
Right. How many? I wonder how many voters they did this.
It was 2,300 adults in the
okay,
US.
So you have a pretty large sample size.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Jordan was probably in the top spot for, I don't know, maybe half of them.
Oh, I'm sure.
So here's the top 10, according to the Harris poll. And I have a couple disagreements. I mean, Jordan 1, Babe Ruth 2, 3, Muhammad Ali, 4, Serena Williams, 5, Peyton Manning, 6, Joe Montana, 7, LeBron James, 8, Tiger Woods, 9, Tom Brady, 10, Wayne Gretzky. What's the first thing you think when I read that?
That Gretzky should be higher, no question.
And why is Peyton Manning ahead of Tom Brady?
And it wasn't even close here. I was shocked by that, too. But Gretzky, I think the Gretzky thing is a sport. You know, hockey sometimes doesn't get as much love as
well,
some
of course.
Other sports. There's no question Gretzky should be above Tom Brady. He should be above Tiger, in my opinion. He should be above LeBron. Gretzky put up unbelievable numbers in his career, numbers that will never even be close to being touched.
Here are some guys that have been on the list in years past. Brett Favre was number 5 in 2009. He is not in the top 10. Ted Williams was number 8 in 2009. Hank Aaron was number 10 at one point.
Tiger Woods, because they did this 6 years ago, 2009, they had this. And for the most part, except for the names you just mentioned, the top 10 was fairly the same. But Tiger was number 2 in 2009. He dropped to 8. I'm surprised he hung on to a top 10 ranking.
Yeah, well, he should have retired years ago. I mean, the guy, he's a hack now.
He's a hack. They don't retire. They play till they're 65,
well,
Sam,
competitively. Get out of here. He doesn't need to play. Why would he still play? He's got all the money in the world. There's no reason to play. He can't play. He's in his own head. He can't even putt anymore. Barry Sanders retired at the prime of his game. Just tell me Tiger can't walk away.
He can barely walk away. That's the problem.
Yeah, and he's still golfing. And it's only going to get worse.
There's no reason for him to stop. Why stop?
Because you're bad.
There's a lot of bad golfers on the tour that don't win all the time, but keep going for it. Why not? You're
40.
Because
athletes that have been in that light, in the conversation for one of the greatest athletes of all time, I think it kills them deep down to be mediocre.
It does, and I want to give credit to the journalist who had this phenomenal in-depth interview with Tiger Woods. Came out a few weeks ago. Some really interesting stuff from Tiger in that, and he seems very content staying away from the golf course right now. He's been pretty much bedridden after another off-season surgery. Just turned 40. Happy birthday, Tiger. And still 4 majors shy of Jack Nicklaus. It's doesn't look good for him breaking that. That was his goal, and it's probably not going
to
happen.
Well, he was on pace to slaughter that record.
I mean,
you thought he'd blow by it before
the scandal and before the injuries started piling up. There was not one person that would have said, "No, he's not breaking."
Before his wife was chasing him around with a golf club.
I think it was.
If you can, please take your name off that.
Didn't she chase him with a golf club?
Yeah, I think it was a 7-iron or maybe a 6-iron,
Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe call you.
One of the best voicemails ever.
Just a bad guy. Just a bad guy.
Oh,
great golfer, bad guy.
Tiger is one of my all-time favorite athletes.
Can I play the whole thing?
Sure.
Because it's just so good. I mean, this is...
I've never even heard this play.
You never heard this?
So, wait. So, this is the voicemail that he left for one?
One of his many missed. I don't know if it was the Perkins waitress. I don't know if it was that one model that, or the porn star. So, this is a Tiger
They all kind of blend together,
so
don't
they? So, this came out. This voicemail came out. And this is the actual voicemail he left to one of his mistresses before this whole scandal broke.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe call you. So if you can, please take your name off that. And just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. That's it. Okay, you got to do this for me. Huge. Quickly. All right, bye.
Quickly.
I love, too, how he says right in the beginning, hey, it's Tiger. Why would you even say that? Just say, hey, it's me.
Don't leave the voicemail, you idiot. What are you doing?
Yeah, there's been some interesting stuff that's come out from that whole scandal, including some text messages that have been sent to some of his lady friends that we can't even begin to even think about reading on these WGN airways.
So again,
hey,
the list...
It's Tiger.
Well, now he wouldn't be under Tiger. He'd just be a Tiger emoji, right? That's what he would be in the context
right.
as. So if you're just joining us, this is the Harris poll. They've done it, 6 years now?
6 years ago was the first time they did it, 2009, and then they revisited it this year. So 6 years later.
Oh, I thought they did it every year.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so 6 years later, here is the list of the top 10 athletes of all time. Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Serena Williams, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, and Wayne Gretzky. 312-981-7200. We've got a bunch of texts, and we've got John in Grays Lake on 720 WGN. Hey, John, Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you guys. I'm going back a few years. I'm 68 years old, back with Ernie and a few other people, Hank Aaron. But I'm saying Willie Mays. That guy could do everything. And he was—he had all the records. I mean, the guy was great.
It's hard to argue over.
You remember him? No, you wouldn't because you guys are—you never. Well, you heard of him, but
over 650 home runs in
right.
a 22-year career, an All-Star in every.
That dude could do everything.
24-time All-Star.
Yeah,
that's it. 12 Gold Gloves, 2 MVPs, World Series champ. Yeah, I mean, he was up there. He was on the list. It says, according to this article, that. He was up there with Ted Williams and Pete Rose of the best baseball players of all time.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Ruth was one, Aaron was two, and then there was Mantle in third, followed by a three-way tie, Willie Mays, Ted Williams, and Pete Rose.
Yeah, you can't beat, I'm just saying, them guys are, of course, nowadays, you know, it's different nowadays.
How so?
I mean... It isn't. Back then, these guys just played their dupe off.
Right.
You know what I mean. And they earned everything, and there was no trouble.
Are you okay with Mantle, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth being ahead of Willie Mays?
Mantle had a few issues.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron's. Ruth, yeah, there's all of them guys. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, no.
And you're okay with Pete Rose making this list?
Rose, yes. I never liked Rose because of how cocky he was, but the dude put out.
You think he should?
He hustled. I mean, you can't knock that.
You think Rose should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Well said.
I mean, I never liked him, but he sure hell hustled.
He played his dupe off. Thanks, John.
Okay, have a good day, guys.
You too.
Happy New Year. That's John in Grays Lake. He thinks that Willie Mays should be in the top 10. We've got some text here. Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, the hip injury kind of sidelined a really exciting career. The guy was a two-way stud. I'm sure he could have played basketball, too, if he wanted to, but played in the major leagues, played in the NFL, had the unfortunate tackle where somebody pulled him down from behind and the hip
went
away. And, you know, I remember Bo Jackson picking up a baseball off the left field wall. I think it was the left field wall. He grabbed it with his bare hand, pivoted, turned, and threw a dart to home plate to nail a runner.
ESPN's 30 for 30. They do a really nice job with most of those. And the Bo Jackson one is great. Recommend checking it out. But, yeah, on to Harris's poll, asking America who the best athletes of all time were. They also have the a list of the greatest football players. Montana's in at one. And Brady's at two.
No, Manning would be one because Manning's higher than Montana. So wait, so Peyton Manning is higher in the whole poll,
yeah,
but he's under
That's what it says
Montana here. In the football poll.
Yes. Strange.
Okay.
Montana one, Brady two, Manning three, Sweetness four, Jim Brown five. I'd put Walter above Brady and Manning.
A texter asking us to ask Tiger if Perkins is fast food.
Yes, we are taking the text on whether or not Portillo's is or isn't fast food and what qualifies. What are the qualifiers that make a restaurant a fast food restaurant?
I'm with you on Gretzky, though. Gretzky should be way higher than 10.
Yeah, and somebody also, seriously, from the 309, seriously, Gretzky was far more dominant than Jordan. Well, no comparison, he says. His career assists alone shattered the all-time points record. The bias is real. All right, 309. I agree. I think Gretzky should be higher on the list. And also a text coming in. 608 took a poll of his own. He says Portillo's is not fast food unless it's a hot dog. So he's saying it's what you order from Portillo's.
Four times he scored more than 200 points in a season.
His numbers, some of his numbers are unbelievable. Will never be touched.
He had 92 goals in 81-82. 92 goals.
Unreal, man.
I still can't get over the 51-game point streak.
No.
That's insane.
I thought Kane's was ridiculous. And
he went to 26.
Barely halfway to what Wayne Gretzky did.
Yeah, it was 26, right?
26, he ended
up
26.
Yeah, so he was just over that halfway point.
By the way, that's a good time to plug the Blackhawks are honoring Kane for the record-breaking point streak.
Yeah, tomorrow night before Ottawa.
Catch that here on 720 WGN. Another one of our food texts, our two texts of the show today are what are your sports wishes for 2016? Some of those coming in, a lot of Blackhawks love, people asking for the Bears just to have a winning season. And the other text, the fast food question from the 630, Portillo's is good, good food, fast. And I'm pulling a Steve Cochran.
You okay? He just walked in, by the way, started playing with your hair. Did you catch that?
No, was he in here?
I thought he was going to sit down.
Oh, why didn't he come
on? Can we book Cochran? Can we book him?
I'll give you his number, Mike. Can you call him? let's see. So I do a half beer, no fries. Do a salad with half the beer from Portillo's. Okay. Was Steve really in here?
He walked in here,
I'm in the zone,
played
man.
With the top of your head, and then walked out.
Yeah, he walked by twice. How did you not see him?
I didn't know.
I mean, he came dangerously close to your head twice. And you didn't see that?
I'm in the zone, man.
Apparently.
People have been walking in and out of here all day.
I do want to get to this next. We have to step away for just a second. But there are four captains in the NHL All-Star Game. Three of them make a lot of sense. The fourth one makes no sense. We'll tell you who that guy is next. Blackhawks trip to Minneapolis. Here's the details. Come with WGN Radio. Spend a hockey-filled three-day weekend away in Minneapolis, February 20th through the 22nd. You will travel by chartered coach to the Twin Cities to see the outdoor alumni game. Troy Murray going to lace them up for the Blackhawk alumni team at TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. Then on Sunday, it's the Blackhawks and the Wild, the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game. Your trip will include accommodations at the Hampton Inn, Minneapolis downtown, steps away from restaurants and nightlife. You get two breakfasts and you get game tickets. Sunrise Tours has more info, 800-881-8804. To book your tour, 800-884-8804. Pricing and booking information, WGNradio.com/events.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
One of my favorite songs, Mike. How did you know? Who does this? I have no idea. I hope I never hear it again either. Sam Panionovich and Kevin Powell on the beat, 720 WGN. So you got confirmation Steve Cochran was in the studio.
Yeah, I just talked to him. In and out, he said. He had to run.
It's a drive-by.
Just a drive-by.
Just a drive-by.
He was catching up on a couple things. We've been off for a week. The Steve Cochran Show, Steve will be back in the saddle on Monday, 6 to 10.
So the NHL All-Star Game, they changed the format again. I thought they just changed it. So they changed it again. They pick captains from all four divisions, right? And the game is going to be 3-on-3.
Yes.
Four games of 20 minutes of 3-on-3. So they held a fan vote to nominate the captains. Patrick Kane is a captain. Jaromir Jagr is a captain. Alex Ovechkin is a captain. The fourth one, you would never guess. Former Blackhawk and current Arizona Coyote, who was waived by the Coyotes three times this year. He has one assist and no goals. John Scott is your fourth All-Star captain. What?
How did this... So this turned into a social media thing, correct?
That's all it was.
And how did this start? Who started it?
I don't know who started it. All I know is that it carried him into a captaincy position in the NHL All-Star Game. The guy has only played in 11 games.
I didn't know that there was that much love out there for John Scott.
Neither did I. But somewhere along the way, so the power of social media just took off. But John Scott was pleading with fans to stop voting for me. He says, it's nice to be thought of by all of the fans, and for that I am really, truly flattered and grateful. And while I would love to experience an All-Star Game, I think a few of my teammates are a bit more deserving of a vote.
Well, Patrick Kane gave the quote today. Chris Cook of the Tribune tweeted it out. Good for Scott. I hope he shows up. Because I guess there's a decision he has to make about showing up or not. The hashtag was simple, vote John Scott.
And it worked. The power of social media took off on Twitter. And, he's a captain. I think it's hilarious, and I love it.
So Kane leads the league with 56 points. Yeah. Jagr's been an all-star now nine times.
Mm-hmm.
Ovechkin is one of the best scorers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
John Scott has 1 point.
And he will be a captain at the NHL All-Star Game.
No, so it's a 3-on-3 game. I mean, I guess it'll be exciting, but they're not expecting defense.
No. I mean, there's never defense in any All-Star games, is there? Basketball scores like 160 to 180.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook, I think he had 40 points last year in the All-Star Game in the NBA.
The Pro Bowl's a joke.
Oh, the Pro Bowl's awful. I haven't watched a Pro Bowl in 10 years.
I would say out of the All-Star games, though, I would say the NHL is probably one of the better ones. Because the skill competition.
Yeah.
And this will be, I mean, it's an interesting twist because the NHL is always looking to get more viewers, obviously.
I agree, Mike. I love the skill stuff is what I really
it's
love.
It's fun.
When they have the targets on the net.
Had the cape.
That was great. That was great. The speed skating one. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. But, yeah, I've always been a fan of the NHL All-Star break.
My favorite back in the day was the dunk contest, but that's gone to hell in a handbasket because none of the best dunkers even dunk anymore.
Yeah, could you imagine LeBron James in a dunk contest?
You could have had a situation where you had, LeBron, Dwight Howard, who was another really good dunker? Not really coming to mind right now, but they didn't want to do it. Back in the day, all the good players wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jordan and Dominique Wilkins mm-hmm. going
Spud
tit for tat.
I mean, he wasn't the greatest player, but that was fun.
Was he 5'7" or 5'9"?
I think 5'7", maybe. Could even been 5'6".
And then Spud Webb's distant cousin, Nate Robinson, on the height tree. He actually has the most dunk championships of all time. Didn't Nate win it three times?
Is he a three-time winner?
I know he's multiple. I could look that up.
The one year, though, Dwight dunked on a 12-foot basket, and they gave it to Nate because he jumped over a teammate. Come on.
Remember when Derrick Rose could dunk, period?
Remember when he could just play basketball, period?
He's bad. Just statistically, aesthetically.
Bad.
Bad.
We're going to talk to Vincent Goodwill from CSN Chicago about some Derrick Rose and other Bulls stuff at 6:05, too.
And coming up after we check the news with Rob Hart, we're going to talk some baseball with Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. He covers all things baseball, CBSSports.com. The Cubs made their splashes. The White Sox making splashes, maybe another splash on the way. How many times can I say splash in 5 seconds? Matt Snyder joins us after the news at 5:30.
Swinging a high fly ball, well hit to right. Ethier back at the track, at the wall. He jumps. Got a home run. Yoenis Cespedes takes Greinke out the other way. He leads off the second with a home run, and the Mets have a 1-0 lead.
Swung on and belted to right field, and it is gone into the corner. Alex Gordon leads off the 10th inning. And once again, the Royals have the lead.
Welcome back to The Beat, 534, Sweet Home Chicago, 720 WGN. As we talk some baseball with you now, Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com on Twitter at MattSnyderCBS. Joins us on The Beat, Sam Panionovic and Kevin Powell. Busy offseason, Matt, but isn't that always the case in baseball? I feel like we're always talking December and January about the baseball topics.
Yeah, and I got to say, this many free agents going into January, that's not common at all. In fact, it's one of the, I mean, there are so many quality free agents left, especially the outfield market, that have only had Jason Hayward in such a strong class sign. When you've still got Cespedes and Justin Upton and Alex Gordon, and you've gone down to Dexter Fowler, Jannard Span, Gerardo Parra, there are a lot of really good free agents left out there. So that's to me, like, yeah, we've been busy, but we're going to keep being busy.
You heard the highlights from the Mets and Royals radio networks. That's the hottest topic right now in Chicago baseball because the Cubs have made their moves, Hayward and Zobrist and John Lackey, and the White Sox have made some moves too with Lurie and Todd Frazier, but we've learned, and I'm sure you've heard, about Yoenis Cespedes and Alex Gordon. The Sox are interested, but we've heard that only for 3 years or less. First of all, do you buy that they can get one of these two players, and is there any chance that they could break through that three-year threshold?
If they don't go any more than three on either one of them, they're not going to get them for sure. So they need to be able to go higher. I don't know why you wouldn't be ready to go for that fourth or fifth year, because even if it's going to be dead money toward the end of the contract, which that's a different argument altogether, but if you're going to go in that direction, I don't think you have to be worried about those fourth and fifth years right now, because you cannot waste Chris Dale and Jose Abreu's primes on non-contending teams. Those guys are too good to sit there and not play for a contender through their prime. So you got to win now, and you got to surround them with as many good to great players as you can. You got a chance to get those guys. You got to go to years four or five to do it. That's fine with me. I think they should overpay, if anything. And, put one of those guys in left field, and then Cabrera and Garcia actually match up very well for a platoon in right field. And all of a sudden, you've got a quality outfield out there.
Yeah, you look, if they're able to land one of these guys, Matt, Cespedes or even Gordon, we talked about this a little bit before, but making some big moves, if they can get Cespedes into this lineup, I mean, where would you rank it on paper, at least, throughout the entire league? You could have a potential Todd Frazier, Jose Abreu, Cespedes, heart of the lineup. That's one of the better ones in the entire league.
Absolutely. I mean, it's between the north and the south side. Yeah. There would be some very fun offensive games and a lot of home runs hit. So, yeah, I mean, to throw Cespedes in the middle to knock down a few of the guys that you're looking at, Brett Lurie maybe knocking down a lineup spot, that makes him that much more attractive with where he's going to be. So I definitely think they need to add somebody in left field. When you're looking at, even if they went down to Justin Upton, you're not going to get as good a defense there, especially a step down from Alex Gordon. But any one of those three guys I think would look great in left field. And again, then that enables you to platoon the other two guys in right, and their platoon splits match up very well.
Matt Snyder from CBS Sports with us on 720 WGN. He covers baseball on a national scheme. I like what both the Cubs and Sox did, because oftentimes, Matt, as you know, the big fish in free agency are usually the only piece for whatever team decides to sign them. The Cubs and White Sox plan to bring in a bunch of players together, and I think that helps not only for transitional purposes, but it takes pressure off of some of these guys coming in because they've got guys that are in the same boat as them.
Absolutely, and I got to say, I thought that, to jump off on the Hayward point, that Adam Wainwright's comments were just laughable about how Hayward apparently didn't want to be the man or transition or something. He still has an 8-year, $184 million contract, and there's going to be pressure that goes with that. But he's not near the only guy there. So you've already got Rizzo as kind of the guy. John Lester is a big money pitcher. Jake Arrieta, I just want to cite him. Chris Bryant's going to be one of the best players in the league. So there are a lot of different guys there, and you're right. Blackie also being a newcomer, he's got World Series experience. So while Hayward has to be considered one of the men, he's not the one big move this offseason because he wasn't. You're right. They added Zobrist and Blackie as well.
Matt, is there anyone willing to take Adam LaRoche off the White Sox hands? Any developments there?
It.
No one, right?
I doubt it. I just don't see that happening. I mean, they could do something where they traded him to some. It's a totally different situation. But what comes to mind is like how the Angels basically gave Josh Hamilton to the Rangers and Tatum almost. LaRoche, obviously, different issue. It's his just on field, and he doesn't have nearly as much left on his contract. But it would have to be a situation where they essentially paid his salary and gave him away for basically nothing. Like a player to be named later or something, and will pay his salary. That would be the only way.
Yeah, real quick, $13 million remaining on his salary.
That's it? Only $13 million. That's a lot of zeros.
That's not that bad. In this day and age, with as much money as baseball has for a large market team like the White Sox, you can eat $13 million, whether it's him sitting on the bench or them just paying somebody else to take him.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals, are they still paying Gil Mesh? I mean, they gave him like $55 million a long time ago.
I hadn't thought about that name in a long time.
Neither had I, and I hope I never think of it again. Wow. Matt Snyder's with us from CBS Sports. You know, Chris Bryant no longer a free agent, right? He just got engaged. And a lot of women across Chicago are upset about that.
Yeah, I saw it. When I saw that announcement, that was my thought. I was like, man, there are a lot of girls whose hearts got broken there. He's got it all right now, doesn't he?
He's so marketable. That's the thing. Like, he's a great guy. He doesn't get lost in going out and causing a scene in the public. Great baseball player. Good-looking guy. I mean, the Cubs really hit the gold mine with Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The marketable thing is it's just, you know, he's pretty much never going to get in trouble. He doesn't do anything stupid. He never says anything stupid. I mean, he talks to the media, but he's kind of vanilla, and not necessarily like a Derek Jeter way, but maybe just like Mike Trout, where, you know, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper are the yin to each other's yang. Bryant's more of the Trout school, where he's going to give you answers, but they're going to be pretty boring, and he's not going to be able to be picked apart by a lot of people. So, yeah, he's very, very marketable.
We've talked about the big splashes this offseason, talking about Suspettus and Gordon potentially going to the South Side. Are there any maybe less covered, or maybe some players we haven't been talking about, maybe it's just a reliever or back of the rotation type guy that the Cubs or the Sox could potentially be interested in?
Well, I think when you said back of the rotation starter, there are a few guys who are reclamation type guys out there, like Doug Fister. He was great 2 years ago and awful last year. Well, you know, what's wrong with giving him a 1 year show me deal and seeing if he becomes the Fister of 2 years ago? There's nothing there to indicate that he's completely gone or a lost cause. I'm a lot less bullish on Matt Latos, but he's another guy that he used to be kind of a borderline all-star type and just had a brutal year. I don't know about him in the locker room. That's why I'd be less bullish than Fister. But there are some guys that they're still just hanging around out there and unsigned Justin Masterson type where, you know, maybe just take a chance and see what they're going to give you.
These Hall of Fame ballots become more and more interesting the further and further away we get from, you know, the Mark McGwire and the Sammy Sosa and the Barry Bonds era, because some people will never put them in. Some people think they should be in. I think the ballots come out, what, Wednesday at 6? Wednesday at 5 or 6 p.m.?
That sounds right.
Okay,
I have to check, but yeah, I think 6 is the show.
So here are the first ballot guys. You got Ken Griffey, who's a lock. I mean, if he doesn't get in, I'd be stunned. Then
he might get 98%. So yeah, he's getting in.
But then I mean Trevor Hoffman maybe on this first ballot, but outside of that, no locks outside of Griffey for me, Matt.
Yeah, there's not. I think that some holdovers, Piazza, I think is going to get in. I think Bagwell has a shot.
Tim Raines should be in. He should be in.
Closer.
Yeah, he should. He probably won't.
I mean, I just posted something on him today. He's the second greatest leadoff hitter of all time after Ricky Henderson. Everybody else you think of as a table setting guy either hit first, either hit second or third or something. So I just don't understand what's taking so long. He's fifth in career stolen bases. He has a lot better on base percentage than Lou Brock. He has a lot better stolen base efficiency than Lou Brock. I just don't understand what's taking it so long with Reigns. But I think Reigns is going to be close enough that he'll get in next year in his final try. And I think we'll see Bagwell in either this year or next year. And Griffey and Piazza will be in this year.
The Baseball Writers Association of America has been the collection of deciders, the voters, since 1936. There's been some adjustments made to allow writers from MLB.com websites to join the organization. Do you like that move? Do you think there should be even more changes to the voting process? And do you think adding these extra writers to it will change anything moving forward?
I think it's good. The MLB.com beat writers are very dialed in. They deal with teams on a daily basis, so they're the types that will do their homework, and that's definitely a good thing. I think purging inactive was also a very good move. I mean, if you don't do anything in the sport anymore, you're not required to think about it. I mean, I spent all of December thinking about the Hall of Fame. So it's going to be 9 years before I have a vote, but I'm becoming very familiar with all the guys who are already in. That's the standard that's established. So I think that that's good. And one thing I'd like to see him do, we as an organization push to increase the maximum number of votes. You can make the 12. The Hall of Fame turned us down. I don't think there should be a maximum. If there's 15 guys I want to vote for, so be it. You still have to get to 75%. That's really hard to get there. So I don't know why there needs to be a maximum. I think it's just yes or no on every guy. That would be fine with me.
This isn't popular, Matt, but that's fine. Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I've ever seen. And he was
absolutely
in the conversation before he ever put anything in his body that was illegal. The fact that he might not be enshrined in Cooperstown, I don't care if you put an asterisk next to it, you put him in a cheater's wing, I mean, he's a bad guy, but he was one of the best baseball players I have ever seen. He should be there in some capacity.
He was already a Hall of Famer, as the story goes from Jeff Turtleman's book, Game of Shadows, that, Ken Griffey Jr. denied this took place. But just hypothetically speaking, let's go with where Bonds' mindset was. It was after 1998. The Sammy and Maguire home run chase. Bonds basically saying, I know I'm better than these guys, and they're taking this stuff. Screw that. I'm tired of this. I'm going to show them how good I can be. So, I mean, there's people, oh, I would never do that. I'm a cheater. For me, it's hard to put myself in his shoes and say I wouldn't have done the same thing. If you know that you're a better player, but they're cheating to get all the accolades, and I think I'd give in too. So that's why and like you said, he was the best baseball player of his generation, and it frankly wasn't even close. So, for me, and I'll put Clemens there too, even though he's not a good guy at all, and he tried to ruin Brian McNamee and all that crap. 7 Cy Youngs, man, and he was a Hall of Famer before that late surge too. So, for me, those two guys should be obvious.
Yeah, I just think about this all the time. 25, 30 years from now, I've got kids, and we're walking through Cooperstown, and I have to explain who Barry Bonds is because he's not there. And that's just stupid.
Yeah, and again, even if you want to put something on a plaque like he was connected to Balco, though, that's fine, because guess what? There are guys who used greenies in the 70s who were in the Hall of Fame, some of them considered among the best baseball players of all time. And there are some bad guys in the Hall of Fame. And there are guys who would have done PEDs like Bonds did if they were available back then. They just weren't available. I mean, there's a guy named Pud Galvin who pitched in the 1800s. Who tried to take testosterone from a sheep or something. He's in the Hall of Fame. So, I find it all tiring. I just want to judge what we saw on the field. And my rule will be, if you are suspended for it while you were playing, then I'm not going to vote for you because you tried to cheat and you got caught. And A-Rod, no. Manny, no. But if there was no test that tied him to it, I'm not going to try to guess. So I'm a yes on Bonds. I'm a yes on Sammy. I'm a yes on McGuire.
We filled the stadiums. We packed batting practice. We rooted for the home runs. And then once they retired, we cut them down. That's how it works, Matt.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. He covers Major League Baseball. How much longer before Tom Crean's fired in Bloomington, by the way? I know you're a Hoosier.
Hopefully it could be happening right this minute. I think this season might be the one that does him in because there was just so much talent coming in. They were, preseason top 15, and then they go out to Maui and embarrass themselves, and now they're barely skating by Rutgers and Nebraska. It feels like they might miss the tournament or at least be a bubble team, and at some point it's just not good enough anymore, and it's not even about the wins and losses. I just –
I mean, after the Rutgers game, when he starts talking about how awesome Rutgers is and how much better they are than last year because you had trouble putting away, like, quit doing that. He's been doing that ever since they were number one. And every time the media asks him a question about why they're not playing well, he gets annoyed and almost yells at him. It's just like, I don't know.
I didn't mean to boil your blood. I'm sorry. I can tell you're heated now. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports on Twitter, at Matt Snyder CBS. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us on WGN.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Snyder, good stuff there, Mike. Good stuff. Mike said he used to put him on shows all the time, so I'm glad that Matt came on, and I agree with him. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Come on. 312-981-7200. We'll talk some more Hall of Fame. Pete Rose has been banned for life, right? Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said that he will never get in the Hall of Fame, so I'm sure people want to talk about that as well. Maybe somebody wants to talk about Willie Mays' Dupa.
And please keep the text coming in. A couple text questions we sent out to you guys today. What are your 2016 Chicago sports wish? What's your wish list? What are you hoping for? You want another Stanley Cup, a little championship, another parade downtown? And what qualifies a restaurant as a fast food restaurant? We've been debating all night about whether or not Portillo's is fast food. Let us know your thoughts. 312-981-7200.
He's Kevin Powell. I'm Sam Panionovich. This is The Beat, 720 WGN.
Either you're in the circle or you're out of the circle. You want to be in? Let's go. You don't want to be in? That's fine, too. Let's go.
It's the circle of life, and it moves us
on. Welcome back to The Beat, 720 WGN. I miss Tom Thibodeau. I do. There, I said it. The circle. And you have to be in the circle or you're out of the circle. That's usually how it works. I mean, I'm no circle expert, but
we're playing back some of the most memorable quotes of the year, some sports quotes. We'll be dropping them in until the end of the show.
Yeah, and Vince Goodwill from CSN Chicago is going to join us out of the 6 o'clock news to talk about some Bulls and why Derrick Rose is bad. But until... before we get there, I should say, there were some listeners outside that were trying to talk to me. We're in the Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, and you can see outside, and they can see inside. They were trying to talk to me through the glass, and I said, hold on. We got to the commercial, and they actually had a note. We were talking about Portillo's, if it's fast food or not. Hello, how are all of you?
Hello!
You wanted to sound in on the Portillo's fast food debate, so go ahead.
Portillo's is fast food.
100%.
Why?
100%.
Cheese fries. It's got a drive-through. You get it all in 10 minutes.
I agree. Kevin says,
but
it's not.
Just because you get the food quickly from the restaurant into your car, that doesn't mean there wasn't a long preparation of the meal.
Well, you could say that about anything. I mean, how long does it take to kill a cow and make a hamburger?
Exactly.
Did you have to bring up killing cows? Now I feel bad about going to Portillo's tonight to get that cheeseburger.
Oh, I'm getting an Italian beef on my way home.
We're going to go. We're probably going to go there later on. Stay warm out there. Thanks for chiming in. Chicago's finest on the streets on 720 WGN. We were talking
fast food.
We were talking Hall of Fame with Matt Snyder, and John has been patient. He's out in Joliet. He wants to talk some Hall of Fame and some baseball. Hey, John, Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, too. Hey, my feeling is if you got all these guys that are hitting all these records with the pumped up on drugs, why the heck isn't Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Tell me the difference. Guy uses drugs so he can do a great job for his team and win, or somebody goes to a Las Vegas casino, bets on his team to win. What the heck's the difference?
John, I would put them all in. I would vote for all of them if I had a vote. Again, that's not popular. A lot of people have debated at ends with me about this, but the best players in the sport should be there in some way, shape, or form. Now, if you want to mark it or do you want to put an asterisk there, I don't care how they do it, they should be in there in some respect.
Oh, definitely with Pete Rose. I mean, all-time hitter, everything else. I mean, think about the drugs. How many home runs would Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron have hit if they had been using all this stuff?
Well, a lot of debating on the show today, John, so I got to get your thoughts. Portillo's, is it fast food or not fast food?
Fast food.
You're calling it fast food?
Yep.
All right, John, thanks for chiming in.
You go in, you get fast.
I agree, John, and there's a drive-thru. Happy New Year. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
John jumps off. You can jump in, 312-981-7200. No, but people all the time, they're like, they cheated. Like, it's so, like, I understand. I know. I know what they did. They know what they did.
And what you said about being in the Hall of Fame, look, just the Hall of Fame, like you said, an asterisk, a whole different wing for the steroid
era.
The cheater's wing. But Barry Bonds still, I agree with you 100%, Sam. Is still one of the best baseball players I've ever seen in my life.
Defensively, defensively, he's one of the best five players that ever lived. Defensively. And 500 homers, 500 stolen bases, over 10 gold gloves. He changed the game. Did he cheat? Yes. Should still be in. Rich is in Bolingbrook on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Yeah, but Pete Rose, the bottom line is gambling is not illegal. You might say it's unethical, but look at all the people that have done illegal things, like Michael Vick went to prison. He's still playing pro sports. And if you want to start banning people for life for unethics, what about the Patriots videotaping their opponent's signals?
Yeah, well,
and again, they're still he's still coaching.
Well, gambling on baseball, technically, in the baseball section is illegal. So he did break that rule. But I'm with you, though. I mean, Pete Rose.
But is it a rule or is it a law?
It's not a law. It's a rule implied by Major League Baseball.
Right. So, but I mean, look at guys that actually broke laws, things that they went to prison for, and we still let them play.
Rich, my thing is, this is entertainment. We watch to be entertained. And Pete Rose and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they all entertained the hell out of us.
Exactly, and I think Pete Rose should be allowed into the Hall.
Well, it probably
because
won't happen.
People that did a lot worse, and they're still eligible.
All right, Rich, thanks for chiming in.
Yep, thanks.
312-981-7200. Still hungry.
I'm starving. I can't even focus anymore, Sam.
I have never been this hungry in my life. Rick will close out the 5 o'clock hour on the beat on 720 WGN. Hey, Rick, how's Edison Park?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
We're good.
Rick, what's up?
I'm hungry. Although it's not exclusive by any means, anytime you have to throw out your own garbage in a restaurant, that's fast food. Anything with a little trash flap, you know, box to slide your thing in, the tray on top, that's fast food.
So of all the qualifiers we've gone over tonight, the drive-thrus, yours is you have to throw your own food out, and that qualifies as fast food restaurant.
Exactly, but at Portillo's, sometimes the nice people that work there will clear your plate for you. Mm-hmm. But if you look by the door, they still do have those little boxes with the push here, you know, thingy. You know, so to me, that qualifies as fast food.
It's a close call. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it, man. Happy New Year.
Have a great night.
All
righty.
All right, Rick. Thanks for hopping in. We have to get to news. After the news, Vincent Goodwill, one of the best writers around the Bulls. He's great, and he hasn't been here that long. Used to cover the Pistons, now he's with the Bulls, but he's got a beat on this team, and he knows about the Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler stuff. We'll get into all that. Tom Thibodeau, Fred Hoiberg, great guest, and he's going to join us after the news.
It was good to see the young guys out there make a big impact. I thought Etwan Moore really calmed us down. I thought he was terrific getting us into our offense. I thought he guarded all game long, and you know, he was plus 27 in his 18 minutes. So, you know, I take my hat off to him, similar to Tony a couple games ago when he hadn't played for several games, and to come in there and make an impact like he did, that's huge. And, you know, Bobby with a double-double, I thought Doug gave us really good minutes, all those guys. It was a great fourth quarter for our team.
That's Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg bringing you back to the beat, 720 WGN after last night's win over the Knicks. A nice week for the Bulls, some home cooking, 3-0 on the United Center hardwood. And Nico Mirotic took a shot, I think it was from the horns last night. It was a 35-foot three.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe he took it from there. I'm sure Fred Hoiberg cringed until it fell into the bottom of the net. Vincent Goodwill is with us now on WGN from CSN Chicago, the insider for the Bulls. Did you think that he was ever going to pull from 35, Vince? I mean, he shot that ball from Aurora.
Well, the crazy part was he was just standing. I'm like, well, it's still in the shot clock. It doesn't look like a play is developing. What are you going to do with the ball? And all of a sudden you see him set his feet, and you're like,
good God, he's going to shoot from there. And, you know, look, when he's been struggling the way he's been struggling, you know, and having a good game like that for the first time, you know, for the second time, I guess, in the past maybe 3 weeks or so, sometimes just let a guy rock and see what happens.
4 wins in 5 games. They beat the Thunder on Christmas Day, then wins over Toronto and the Pacers and the Knicks. Any coincidence that they're actually playing well? I know they had the dud against the Nets after Jimmy Butler said what he said about Coach Fred Hoiberg, but any coincidence that they're actually playing well now?
No, I don't really think it's a coincidence. It wouldn't have surprised me if they didn't play well. I just think because this team has the it seems like it has the makeup of being an up-and-down type of ball club where on a given night or on a given stretch, you know, they're going to win 9 out of 10 games. They're going to look like world beaters, and then they're going to have a stretch where they lose 4 out of 5, and everybody thinks the sky is falling. I just think this is one of those stages where you're going to look good because you have continuity and because you can out-talent teams and things like that. And maybe they're starting to get a little bit of Hoiberg system from an offensive standpoint. So I'm not really surprised by this stage right now. It's just, but for this team, it's all about what happens in April and May, and everything of how we get there is basically window dressing.
Hey, Vince, what's the latest on the injury front for the Bulls? They're starting to add up. Jimmy Butler now playing through a thigh injury. Joakim Noah's missed time, and of course, Derrick Rose. What's the latest with Jimmy and the rest of the injury list?
Well, Derek was scheduled to travel to Toronto, which I guess would give him, you know, sort of at least a decent chance of playing tomorrow, which isn't a guarantee with him. You never know with one way or the other. And with a hamstring injury, you never know either. With Jimmy, it's a thigh injury. It's something that he's playing with. He's going to play through. I highly doubt that he sits a game. He didn't re-injure it last night. He looked decent moving around there. He's clearly not 100%. But, you know, it's going to take a lot for him to sit out a game, particularly with Noah out, with Dunleavy out, with Rose out. So, you know, I think as of right now, it just looks like everything is sort of the status quo. But, you know, you got to look at this month coming up. They got a lot of 2 games and 3 night stretches, a 4 and 5 night stretch. And I think the middle of the month, right smack dab in the middle of the month. So if there's a time for everybody to get healthy and things like that, or to take a game here and there, especially while you're playing well, maybe now is the time to do that, you know, just to get your bodies rested up, because at the end of the month, you're going to have to go out west for that long stretch. And, you know, it's harder to get well on the road than it is to get well at home.
Vincent Goodwill from CSN Chicago, Bulls insider with us on 720 WGN. It's about time they freed Bobby Portis. I mean, it took an injury to Joakim Noah, but it's going to be hard, Vince, to keep that guy off the floor. Double-double last night, 3 games in a row and double figures on the point side of things. But I think more than stats, he's just aggressive, he brings energy, and the team is in dire need of that sometimes.
Yeah, it's for him, he brings the energy that we've talked about basically since the beginning of the season, when this looked like a lethargic bunch from a night-to-night basis, and you didn't know which team was going to step on the floor. And then you have this guy who's just like a firecracker. He goes out there, he ignites everybody, he almost shames you as a teammate into playing hard, or at least playing aggressively, you know, because he's going so hard out there. And the one thing I saw that sort of gotten lost, he looks really comfortable in this quote unquote complicated offensive system. He looks like he's picked up the concepts rather quickly. If you look at it, he's doing a lot of the things that Joakim Noah theoretically can do from an offensive standpoint, except he's got much more of a polish to his game. He's comfortable basically no matter where he touches the ball. You know, he gets the ball on the block. He has that jump hook. He has a mid-range shot. He can even catch and step out to a three-point range. So he looks like a complete offensive package for his position at his size, for him to only have basically had maybe 6 or 7 games of meaningful playing time. I'm just surprised that he's found his way so quickly.
Lots of people, Vince, have thrown shade on Derrick Rose. A lot of times it's Derrick Rose, the person, not the player. And I don't get into that, because what he does is what he does. But as a player, just inefficient, the confidence kind of comes and goes. And, I mean, he's not efficient anymore. He doesn't make the right plays, I feel like, oftentimes. And I call me crazy, but I feel like the Bulls' offense the last 2 days without him, last 2 games, rather, it flowed better.
Well, I don't think that necessarily had anything to do with him, because the offense flowed better with him on the floor. I mean, you look at the Oklahoma City game and the Dallas game, the offense
played relatively well. They played really well, and he was on the floor for both of those games playing heavy minutes. So I don't think it's a matter of him being gone and all of a sudden everything falls into place. I just think at some point some guys catch it. If you look at it, you had the three-point shot was going last night. That's something that's an up-and-down aspect on this team. Derek does not take a lot of three-pointers. Now, while he hasn't been efficient, Derek was never, even at his height, and I wasn't here for it, he was never the efficient ball player. He was someone who was so relentless and aggressive that it wore you down over the course of 48 minutes. And theoretically, with the way he played at Memphis and the way he played at high school, when I've seen his tape and things like that, he was a distributor. He was someone who played tempo basketball. So you just wonder if he has enough muscle memory to get back to playing that way consistently when he's healthy. He played his best basketball, his best stretch of basketball, right up until this hamstring injury. So I want to look at his absence as a positive in the way that, this team is doing well without him. I look at it as, when he comes back, maybe he can pick up right where he left off, assuming that the absence is not prolonged.
Vincent, this Bulls defense has played very well this season. They lead the NBA in opponent's field goal percentage. How have they been successful on that side of the court? Opponents shooting just 41% against the Bulls.
You know what? I think it's a little muscle memory. Just from the fact that this is, at its root, a defensive ball club. This is not, theoretically, I don't think this is the team that Fred Hoiberg is going to wind up coaching over the next couple of years. But, let's be honest about it. This is still a team with personnel, the same team that took the floor last year in the playoffs with the exception of a guy like Bobby Portis. So they still have, even though the philosophy has changed and everything else, and even their identity is changing a bit, they still have enough muscle memory. They still have enough decent defenders, from a guy like Jimmy Butler to a Taj Gibson, who's an excellent low post defender, to Kurt Heinrich and Etuan Moore and guys like that. Even if your best players aren't great defenders, you still have a little bit of the muscle memory for guys who know how to defend, who have those concepts and fundamentals at least ingrained.
This roster is going to change, whether it's this season or next season or the year after. A lot of these guys just won't be here because they don't fit into what the Bulls front office plans. That being said, though, are you a buyer in them actually making a trade this year?
Oh, I definitely think that something is going to happen this year. I'm not sure exactly what. I would be a liar if I said they're going to make this trade with this team, because the one thing people don't factor in is that the Eastern Conference is so jumbled right now that you got 10 or 11 teams basically vying for 8 playoff spots, including a few teams who have not made the playoffs in a long time. So it's going to be hard to get those teams to engage you in a trade that could alter the chemistry by bringing in, let's say, a Joakim Noah or a Taj Gibson or Pau Gasol, even if the Bulls want to give up a Pau Gasol. There's no guarantee for that. But when you want to free up minutes for Bobby Portis and you have this glaring need at the swing spot where you're not sure that Mike Dunleavy is going to come back or what type of player he's going to be when he does, I think it would be very responsible for this team to seriously explore making a trade just to balance out this roster, at least for this year, before you go into the offseason and you have a completely different look before you step on the floor next season.
And even if all goes to plan, you still have to get through LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving if you want a chance to go to the finals. So uphill battle, that's for sure. We were actually talking earlier. I know you're relatively new to Chicago. You came from Detroit, covered the Pistons. But we were talking fast food earlier in the show.
Vincent, okay. I love fast food. And for 2016, I've decided not to eat fast food for the first 30 days of the year. I know, a big commitment. That will start on Monday, but here's the debate, because we're trying to figure out what qualifies as fast food, what doesn't qualify as fast food, so I know what I can eat during this 30-day window.
Okay.
Have you had Portillo's?
I have not had Portillo's.
Oh, that's strike one.
Qualifies as fast food.
It is, right? It's fast food, right? It is.
He hasn't been,
but he still knows that it's fast food.
Hey, Vince, when you go, get the Italian beef with hot peppers. You'll thank me later.
Okay.
Enjoy Toronto, Vince.
Thank you later.
Yeah, well,
it'll be worth it.
Enjoy north of the border.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Vincent Goodwill from CSN Chicago on Twitter at VGoodwill. Never been. We got to get him there.
Yeah, get him some Italian base. Their cheese fries out of this world. Portillo's cheese sauce. Some of the best cheese sauce out there.
I got to go. Me personally, I do the beef and cheddar croissant.
Those are pretty good.
Dude, those it melts right in your mouth.
Everything is good at Portillo's.
This show has just been an ongoing ad.
Chili's very underrated there, too, by the way.
Yeah, I've had the chili. Very good. Get maybe a hot dog and a chili and a fry with cheese.
This is torture. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10. It makes the people dance. 622 on 720 WGN. Sam Panionovic and Kevin Powell on the beat. We've got about 22 minutes or so, and then we'll take you up to Northwestern pregame. It's the Cats and Maryland. Dave Bennett will have you with the pregame show at 645. College football, by the way, did you know of the five games yesterday? All five favorites won, and pretty handily.
Blowouts. All bowl season's been pretty bad. I can't think of one game that sticks out to me where I'm like, yeah, that was a really, really strong game. Nothing this bowl season of the 40 bowls that there are, no good. By the way, Christian Hackenberg officially announced he will head to the NFL draft. He was knocked out of that game today against Georgia. Penn State fell to the Bulldogs 24-17. Hackenberg left, I think, in the first half, right, with an injury?
Yeah.
But he's going to the draft, and he'll probably be a first-rounder.
Well, yeah, then earlier in the week, too, Paxton Lynch from Memphis declared for the NFL draft, mm-hmm. and so did Cal's Jared Goff. So those are probably going to be your top three quarterbacks.
Yep.
Where they go,
I'm not impressed with any of them either.
No, none of them. None of them.
I'm not impressed.
I think we're seeing it in the NFL now, how poor of quarterback play there is in the league. It is bad. It's hard to watch some of these teams play. And that's another quick little side note. Why be careful what you wish for. When the Jay Cutler haters are out and they want him out of town, I go, are you kidding me? You look at what he's done this year. You look what he's done here overall. And you look at some of these other quarterbacks, it's garbage out there.
Well, this year's been easy for Jay. There's been no pressure, no talent on the offense can stay healthy, aside from Matt Forte. I mean, all the playmakers are hurt. So this has been...
I don't know who he's going to throw the football to tomorrow.
Kevin White? Oh, no, he's not playing.
My boy Cam Meredith, Fear the Bird. He'll get some playing time, but everyone is out.
I actually thought about you the other day because somebody said former Indiana standout Cam Meredith. I'm like, ooh. He didn't go to Indiana.
He's a Redbird, man. Illinois State, Fear the Bird. Made some big catches last season.
Some of your discrepancies, and I use that word on purpose, the last 2 days, December 31st and January 1st, Clemson won by 20, mm-hmm. Alabama won by 38. Houston won by 2 touchdowns over Florida State. Stanford beat Iowa by almost 30. Ohio State beat Notre Dame by 16. Ole Miss, 48. Oklahoma State, 20. Tennessee over Northwestern, 45-6. Michigan, 41. Florida, 7.
Bad football, bad games. I hope we all, get a hell of a national championship game because we deserve it after having to watch some of these games.
Yeah, that'll be Alabama and Clemson. Alabama a 7-point favorite. And Clemson actually looks good, though, because they sort of unleashed their quarterback, Deshaun Watson. He ran a lot more.
Do you have your prediction?
Alabama handy? Probably wins. I think Clemson does keep it close, though, because the way you beat Alabama, or at least keep it close, is to spread them out. And I think that quarterback is... certainly something if you haven't seen him yet for Clemson.
A couple other quick side notes and some news happening around the sports world. Longtime NBA ref Joey Crawford to retire after the season. Some great memories of Joey Crawford.
I need one more performance in the playoffs. I need another Joey Crawford meltdown.
39 years, longtime NBA referee Joey Crawford says he's hanging up his whistle after the season. Remember when he got the little dispute with Tim Duncan? And he was screaming at him on the sideline.
He makes it about him.
He makes it about him.
Always has.
Been an NBA ref since 1977. He's officiated 313 postseason games, most of any active ref, including 50 NBA final games. Hats off to Joey Crawford. Any other little news tidbits you want to hit here, Sam?
Well, maybe not news. This is something, and we've been kind of throwing these clips in throughout the show, our favorite memories of 2015. Was this in 2015, the Tim Beckman bite?
Yeah, it was in the, I believe it was in the summer. It could have, I think it was the summer.
All the bad football kind of runs together, so I'm lost with the Illinois football. But this is Illinois, well, former Illinois head football coach Tim Beckman. Just listen. I don't even know how to describe it. This is what he said in an open media setting earlier this year. Well, last year.
We use the word OSCE not just because of the word OSCE or that it's a battle cry of the University of Illinois, but it also stands for something. That stance that we use that word for is our success equals the knowledge of being, the K, the knowledge of being a great student athlete on and off the football field, understanding how to be supportive, how to understand to be successful in the classroom. The E stands for effort, giving all out effort in everything you do each and every day. And then the last E stands for energy. Energy, being a positive influence on the people around you. Having that belief and that system of as being a teammate, being a brother, the band of brothers.
Okay. All right.
What was that, Tim Beckman?
Who knows?
He's spewing something out and all of a sudden, E.
We use the word OSCE not just because of the word OSCE.
OSCE Wallow, of course, the official fight song for the University of Illinois.
Can anyone repeat what OSCE stands for? That what Tim Beckman just told us?
I heard that
I was lost.
One of the E's is for energy.
Our success equals the knowledge.
Shut up.
Oh, man. What an awful hire. What were they thinking even bringing him in? From day one, it was like, what is this guy saying? What is he doing?
See, like, two of the worst hires in terms of head coaches have come, and they came around, you know, in both in football, Mark Trestman and Tim Beckman. Oh, but I miss them as a radio producer because they're just radio gold. Absolutely. I mean, Trestman had just every week it was immediate. It was a media session that you wanted to hear.
We're going
to
grow our football.
And
we're going to grow the man.
And he just rambled and rambled and rambled. Sometimes I felt bad for all our Bears beat reporters in town because some of those Phil Emery, Mark Trestman press conferences were, what, like 45 minutes? Like, let's end
Mark
this
Trestman thing. Was a dork.
The most important part of the process is to show them the whys and to make sure they understand the whys.
He came into a National Football League locker room, and his first action, I think, or second action down in Bourbonnais was to have the team go swimming together to build team. These are like warriors. They make money colliding with each other. And he was like, yeah, we're gonna go swimming. We're going to have oranges. And
from Lovey to Fox, rate them, the coaches.
Lovey was really good, Dave. He was really good for a long time.
I was always
there.
A fan of Lovey. But I'm just curious, what's the conversation between Mark Trestman and Tim Beckman like?
Oh, I don't know. But to answer your question, I go Lovey first, Fox second. Trestman fourth. There is no third. It skips a spot.
Will Ron Rivera ever wind up as Bears head coach?
They could have had him a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't see that happening.
No.
He's got a thing going down there in Carolina.
See, he wanted to be here.
Would he be a good fit here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And could he make Jay – could he create the environment in which Jay has started to flourish?
Well, he's flourished this year for the most part. He's played great this year. But I don't think
so. What was it that was missing?
A lot. Talent. Talent.
Really?
Mostly talent. Was. Yeah, mostly good football players.
Talent and really, really good coaching he's had this year.
Well, yeah. Plus he's part of a scheme now, David, where he is not being asked to do nearly as much, and that has limited his turnovers tremendously. So that's a big factor, Adam Gase's offensive system.
Yeah, he's been through now four coordinators in 5 years, or is it 4 and 6 years? been through a lot of different game plans, a lot of different ideas, a lot of mindsets, a lot of playbooks. So he's finally comfortable now, and of course, Adam Gase probably going to leave for an NFL head coaching job. That's the way it works.
Just telling myself to be calm. Calm down, Ed. Don't get into it. Just take it. You're going to talk nice and easy. What a time to come with play action. What a time to come with a bootleg. What a time to come with a sprint out and throw it to somebody that can get into the end zone. Now, we have receivers that have two legs, two arms, two hands, and they have two eyes.
You're right.
And you're meaning to tell me
we can't
now one of them can get to the end zone?
Oh, the boys will be fired up tomorrow for a real slobber knocker at Soldier Field. The Bears and Lions, both teams 6-9, trying to avoid not only their 10th loss, but a last-place finish in the NFC North. That, of course, courtesy of the Hampton OB Show with Kaz. They're angry sometimes.
It's the best post-game show in town, by far. Got to listen. It's a must-listen. Hamp comes on with Cochran on Mondays at 7:40 as well. WGNradio.com/Bears for full coverage. Adam Hogue does a great job covering the Bears. He's our beat guy here.
It has to be more entertaining to cover a bad team, right?
No chance.
No?
What do you mean? How?
Oh, this has been because there's been so much bad football the last 3 years. They've been awful.
Maybe in football you can get away with that. But like if you're covering a bad baseball team and you're on the beat every day watching bad baseball, that's long. That's
like
tough.
Some of the 2012 Cub games I had to go to when they lost 100. They were awful that year. They were just trash.
But I don't. Winning's. It's funner to cover a winning team.
But for those guys, for Hamp and OB.
Oh, yes.
You get the best out of them and Kaz, too. When this team sucks.
Yeah. When the Bears are collapsing. And I'm watching the game, I just keep thinking about Hampton and OB and how their heads are just going to explode. You don't want to be around those guys when they're watching Bears games. They're scary to be. Mike, you know. They're up there in the conference room watching the game.
It's what's off the air. That's the real entertainment.
Let me tell you.
And I don't even know how that table in the conference room has survived because the amount of times that Hamp has pounded on it.
Very strong oak.
Yes.
I mean, real strong. Because he gets very, very angry. And then before we had an HD TV, because the first like four games of the season that wasn't HD in there,
yeah,
Hamp got very angry. And he went to management. And that took about, I don't know, maybe 20 to 30 minutes to get that change.
Yeah, he brought that up with Cochran on the air. And they had a long, lengthy discussion about it. And management finally took care of it. What's up?
OB is the one that really gets emotionally involved.
Yeah, he's
more so than Hampton. Far more so than Hamp. He just lets it fly.
They're both scary. Don't be around them when they're super angry. Just listen on the radio.
We had that sports meeting. This was probably, I don't know, 6 months ago. And the bosses were asking how we can involve more bear stuff around the station. And my idea was to have a giveaway where you let a listener and a friend watch the game
with Hamp
and OV and Kaz.
They may have to
children allowed.
May have to sign some sort of waiver.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Well, I don't think they're going to hurt anybody, but you probably will drop your jaw a couple of times.
Well, there's times where I seriously have concern for the safety of one Mark Carman, who is a smaller fella. And he is the host of that show. I mean, it's called the Hamp OB and Kaz, or Show with Kaz, but Mark's basically the host, and then he just kind of fishes it out to each guy.
He's a quarterback. He tosses it out to them.
Exactly.
My favorite part about that clip you just played was OB said, "Take it easy, Ed. Take it easy." And then it clips at the end. Like, he's so loud in the microphone, the levels aren't even, you know, all okay.
Can we hear it in another little clip, Mike?
I would like to hear that again, actually.
Should we just play the whole thing?
Yeah, let's just do it. This is what you can hear with Hamp and OB with Kaz.
Just telling myself to be calm. Calm down, Ed. Don't get into it. Just take it. You're going to talk nice and easy. What a time to come with play action. What a time to come with a bootleg. What a time to come with a sprint out and throw it to somebody that can get into the end zone.
Hamp.
We have receivers that have two legs, two arms, two hands, and they have two eyes.
You're right.
And you're meaning to tell me not one of them can get to the end zone?
Just
two arms, two legs, two. I love Hemp going, yep. Confirmation.
Yeah, he's talking himself through to the beginning, trying to calm himself down.
Take it easy, Ed.
Didn't work.
Take it easy.
Didn't work.
So that about does it for the beat. I should read this. The world-famous WGN Chicago personalized calendars for 2016, now available in the featured section on WGNradio.com. This year, Chicago is captured in black and white, presented in a special and one-of-a-kind way in the 2016 Tukai's calendar. This is the eighth year for these highly sought-after calendars, and this is the first year it's all black and white. Not only does it feature Chicago landmarks as seen through the lens of our spectacular photographers, but the images are crafted with your name seamlessly blended in. Give a gift that is completely 100% original. These black and white calendars can be found at WGNradio.com. Scroll down to the feature section, and you can purchase our calendar, and a portion of the proceeds benefit JDRF. So it's for a good cause to make 2016 an epic year. You have to start with an epic calendar, the Tukai's calendar, available in the feature section at WGNradio.com. I think I upset them because I didn't get one this year.
I didn't get one either. That's all right, though.
Well, I would like
great
it.
Great people over there.
I got one the last 2 years, but I didn't get one this year. I don't know.
Buy one, Sam.
Maybe I didn't make the cut.
Question for you.
Yes.
I was talking to a couple friends last night about tomorrow's Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart thing, many Bears fans tomorrow wouldn't be that upset if the Bears lost because of the whole draft pick. It'll help their draft stock. And I've gone over this a million times in my head, and when seasons are over, everyone says, just tank, right? Get a better draft pick. And I try to tell myself that. But tomorrow when I'm watching the game, I'm going to be rooting for them. I can't deny that feeling of still rooting for the Bears. When the Bears are on TV, I have a hard time not rooting for them.
Yeah, but is one game really, at this point, going to make a difference?
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. And right now I'm saying it would be better if they lost because they would help their draft selection. But when I'm watching the game tomorrow, I'm going to be rooting for them and cheering for them to win the game.
This is that Bears paradox where you root, and then when they lose, you tell yourself, well, they'll get a better pick. And then you go to sleep, and you wake up, and it's Monday.
Just to wrap it all up here before we hand it off to Northwestern, but just a few more texts. The big question today was, is Portillo's considered fast food or not? I'm trying to go 30 days in 2016 without eating fast food, so I need to know what I can and cannot eat. We asked, and you guys responded. 847 says, if you aren't served, it's fast food. You're served when they hand it out the window in your car, right?
I don't like that. No, I don't side with that one.
It says, if you are not served by a waitress, then it's fast food.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to the listeners for chiming in on that. It's very important.
That was the hardest hitting issue
yes.
on a sports show. Fast food.
The listeners are the best, though. How great were the texts and calls all night? Thank you to them.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Also, thanks to Dave Ennett, Adam Hoge, Matt Snyder, Vincent Goodwill. They were our guests today on The Beat. Anything you may have missed, WGNradio.com. The podcast will go up. Bears and Lions tomorrow. Get ready. Get your popcorn.
The battle for third place in the NFC North.
Post game at 3 o'clock with Hamp, OB, Kaz. Might as well throw Mark Carmen into there as well. Thanks to Mike Jacobson for putting this show together. Thanks to Tim Beckman for dropping by and telling us about Oski.
That's just a mess.
That was fun, though.
It was fun.
I'm glad we got to play for 4 hours instead of
Sam,
one.
Sam, Mike, Happy New Year, guys. It was fun.
You guys, too. Happy New Year to you as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for texting. Northwestern Hoops is next. The Cats battle Maryland.